For a lot of workers, it's been a year of questions about the future, and that's also true of office workers who may not be on the front lines but have still had to adjust to new realities. If you're someone who's been working from home, you might now be asking, can I continue to do so? Can I split my time between home and office permanently? NPR's Life Kit has been thinking about the shift to a hybrid work schedule and has some tips on how to make it work. Here's NPR's Andrea Hsu.
First thing to know about hybrid work, not everyone is going to be able to do it. Some bosses have embraced the idea. Others have already asked people to be back at their desks full time. Sidal Neely is a professor at Harvard Business School and author of the book Remote Work Revolution, Succeeding from Anywhere. Fortunately, Neely says, there has never been a better time to speak up about what you need to be happy and productive at work.
I think people have proven, and even the words that I use nowadays is, they have earned the right to ask for flexibility.
So our first tip is about how to ask for flexibility. Be prepared to make your case and expect a negotiation. Larissa Horton is a vice president at the tech company Cisco. She says it's always good to start with an open conversation.
My recommendation is to start with all of the things that you are excited about with your job, with your company, and that you appreciate. Because I think it's important that they know you're coming from a place of, I want to find a compromise that works. And then from there, just explaining what your concerns and needs are for you to continue moving forward.
Okay, assuming you've gotten some kind of go-ahead, let's move on to our second tip. Connect with your colleagues early and often and be intentional about it. We all miss the spontaneous moments that just happen in the office, the off-the-cuff gut checks, the quick chats in the lunch line. Well, Larissa Horton says you can bring those moments back in a hybrid work setting. Many messaging apps have a feature that allows you to update your status, you know, whether you're online and available or away. Horton uses that whenever she needs a quick vent session or a brainstorm.
I can find someone who's free and say, do you have 5 minutes? That's super helpful. And that's the stuff that people try to replace with scheduled meetings. But then we just got caught in like 12 hours of scheduled meetings. And really, you needed 5 minutes.
Frequent check-ins with your boss are also important when you're not face-to-face every day. Sidal Neely says, don't wait for your six-month review.
People have to have these active conversations. The onus is both on managers and employees to make sure that they happen.
Third tip now. If you're splitting your time between home and office, make sure your workspace works for you in both places. The last thing you want is to be your own tech support every day. Of course, replicating your office setup at home can cost money, especially if you're someone who has, say, a standing desk. Horton says it's worth finding out if your company has a budget for such items. She says many companies may be saving money by not having everyone in the office all the time.
So it's really taking that savings and reinvesting it into a workplace that is designed for hybrid workers, that is designed for people who are going to be coming in and out.
Now, a last tip from Professor Neely. Build trust with your colleagues, and that starts with being reliable.
Do as you say. You show up when you need to, virtual or not, on time. Follow up.
But also, get to know your colleagues. Let them get to know you. All those Zoom calls from our homes, they gave us a window into each other's lives, and that led to greater empathy. It's been a silver lining of the pandemic and something worth hanging on to. Andrea Hsu, NPR News.
For more tips, check out LifeKit at npr.org/LifeKit.
A debate over coronavirus vaccine requirements is underway at universities across the country. And at one university in Ohio, administrators are taking a different approach, one that itself is controversial. IdeaStream Public Media's Taylor Haggerty reports.
A growing number of colleges and universities are requiring vaccines for everyone on campus as the fall semester begins. But Cleveland State University is trying something different. While students living on campus need to be fully vaccinated, everyone else gets to make that choice for themselves. University officials argue that their plans for a six-week education campaign encouraging vaccinations could essentially be more effective than a mandate. Here's Chief of Health Strategy, Dr. Forrest Faison.
We believe in vaccinations, and we believe our approach is the best way to get more of us vaccinated.
He argues that mandates at other schools often include exclusions and exemptions that can lower the number of people being vaccinated. Senior student Alex Mullinax disagrees. Mullinax says while teachers are taking the pandemic seriously, she isn't confident that administrators are. That comes as the university's president has tested positive for COVID-19.
It's hard because it was getting so much better at the beginning of summer, and now it's really bad again, and they're acting like it's not.
Mullinax is in favor of a full vaccine mandate. The absence of one makes her nervous about there being an outbreak on campus, and she says it makes it harder for her to focus on schoolwork. But freshman Francisco Velez says that while it makes sense to require vaccinations in the dorms, the off-campus students should be able to make the decision themselves, even if he thinks the vaccine is the right choice.
On campus, that makes a lot of sense, especially because the cases are spiking right now. On campus, that it'll just get worse. It'll spread to more and more people in the bubble.
Cleveland State University still requires indoor masking and random testing and offers outreach and incentives to encourage vaccines. Anita Barkin is with the American College Health Association's COVID-19 Task Force. She says education and outreach is certainly important in keeping everyone safe. But she points to history, which she says shows it's mandates that are the best way to achieve high vaccination rates.
We have, for decades, had immunization requirements in place on college campuses. Our records, in terms of looking at outbreaks of infectious disease, provide strong support for the fact that requirements work.
As for exemptions and exclusions, Barkin says research shows those only cover a small segment of college populations, and they don't have a huge impact on efforts to reduce infectious diseases like the coronavirus. Letting people remain unvaccinated, though, has consequences. Dr. Georges Benjamin, who heads the American Public Health Association, says we're seeing those consequences in this wave of the pandemic.
The real challenge here is that there are preventable deaths. And right now, this pandemic has migrated from being a pandemic of all of us to a pandemic primarily of the unvaccinated.
Benjamin and others stress that lower vaccination rates lead to outbreaks, and those provide opportunities for the virus to develop new variants. He argues that the prevalence of misinformation and distrust means making the vaccine optional just doesn't work, and says the best way to make sure everyone is safe is to embrace a mandate. For NPR News, I'm Taylor Haggerty in Cleveland.
Scores of Washington state employees have signed on to a lawsuit that seeks to overturn the governor's COVID-19 vaccine mandate. They include a couple that works for the state patrol. KUOW's Austin Jenkins spoke with them.
Selena and Richard Thompson live in the Vancouver area and have two young children. She's a dispatcher for the State Patrol with 15 years on the job. He's a sergeant with almost 17. They both received religious exemptions so that they don't have to get the COVID-19 vaccine, but they say they'll still lose their jobs because their agency can't accommodate them as unvaccinated workers. So now they're suing in what might be viewed as a long-shot bid to get the mandate thrown out.
For me, it's about moral conviction, I guess, and there's a right and a wrong, and for me, this is wrong. Having it mandated is wrong.
I've been working the front line with masks and social distancing for 2 years, and I don't understand why that's not acceptable now. It just makes no sense to me.
Both say they love working for the State Patrol, but Selena says if the lawsuit isn't successful, she's willing to lose her job over this. Richard says he doesn't know yet what he'll do. I'm Austin Jenkins in Olympia.
State employees and healthcare workers are among those in Washington state who will soon be required to be vaccinated for COVID-19 as a condition of their employment. But there is an exception for people who have sincerely held religious beliefs. Now, a group called One Washington is holding seminars around the state to instruct people on how to ask for that religious exemption. KUOW's Deborah Wong attended one of their sessions this week, and she's here to tell us what they're all about. Deborah, hi.
Hey.
So tell us about this group and what they're doing.
Well, the organizers of this are associated with a church in Gig Harbor called Harborview Fellowship. And that's a church that's been in the news relatively recently. Earlier on in the pandemic, They sued Washington State over the emergency order that prevented churches from holding in-person services. Now, they say they started this whole vaccine exemption effort after Governor Inslee announced that the state would mandate vaccines for certain employees. They said they were inundated with church members who were asking them, what should they do? So they started holding seminars in churches, and pretty soon someone put it up on Facebook and they said it went viral. So they started seeing these huge crowds. They say they've reached thousands of people in the last few weeks around the state and in Hawaii as well.
Really? Okay, quite the reach. But I understand you went to a presentation on Bainbridge Island. What was it like?
It was at a church called Island Church on Bainbridge on Wednesday night. And when I got there, the parking lot was full. I'd say there were probably more than 100 people in attendance. And, you know, I should say, Bainbridge is a pretty liberal community, so I was a little bit surprised by that turnout. I actually wasn't sure if I'd be invited in as a journalist, but I was invited in, although I was asked not to tape record anything. So I took copious notes instead. And I should add that I probably stood out a bit because I was the only person that I could see in the room who was wearing a mask.
Okay, so what was the gist of the advice that they were giving out?
A lot of it was more like a civics lesson. There was a long presentation by State Representative Jesse Young, who's a Republican from Pierce County, about how pretty much everything the governor has done in response to COVID-19 is unconstitutional. And he said that the governor's emergency powers have usurped state law. And he assured people that it's their right to ask for this religious exemption because the practice of religion is protected under federal law. He noted that the Civil Rights Act of 1964 specifically makes it unlawful to discriminate not just on the basis of race, but on the basis of religion as well. And interestingly, the group used a lot of language that was very reminiscent of the civil rights movement.
Really?
They opened up the whole thing, yeah, with a quote from Martin Luther King Jr. And they also used language from the abortion rights movement. They said, remember that phrase, my body, my choice? Well, they said people on the left have conveniently forgotten that they said that. And they also said, we are not anti-vaccine. We are not pro-vaccine. We are pro-freedom of choice.
Pro-freedom of choice. Deb, that phrase it can be pretty loaded these days and mean different things to different people.
It's a contentious claim. I mean, there are plenty of laws on the books that do require people to do things in the name of public health. For example, kids are required to have childhood vaccinations to attend school. I should also add that many religious groups, including the Catholic Church, have come out urging people to get the vaccine in the name of protecting others. For example, the Pope has called getting the COVID vaccine an act of love, and he's suggested it's a moral, ethical obligation to get one.
So for these folks who showed up for the seminar, what did they learn about the nuts and bolts of asking for a religious exemption? Did they have any specific advice for what people should say?
Well, they gave some general guidance on the process. For example, they said, start out by asking your human resources department for written policies, forms, and follow their process. Ask for a reasonable accommodation, which is what the law requires. They gave only one specific example of what language to use or not to use. They showed a video from a woman who had successfully applied for a religious exemption. She suggested that people not use the argument that they're against vaccines because fetal cells were used in the development of some of the vaccines. She said that might change with future vaccines, so don't use that argument. Now, in her application, she quoted the Bible. 1 Corinthians 6:19, which says, my physical body is a holy temple of my Lord Christ and Savior. And she wrote in her application, I will not put anything into my body that would violate my religion or my conscience before God. But the presenters made very clear that people need to come up with their own explanations so that HR departments aren't inundated with the same arguments. And then they provided a QR code up on the screen that would allow people to download a letter from the church with an affirmation of faith.
Is there any evidence, Deb, that we know of that this approach will work?
Well, I don't think we know at this point. Every employer has its own process. This is all happening like right now as we speak. The mandate doesn't go into effect until next month. And so these processes are happening right now. I can tell you what the state of Washington's exemption form asks for. There are basically two questions. Do you assert that you have a sincerely held religious belief that prevents you from receiving the vaccine? And do you affirm that you've never received a vaccine or medicine from a healthcare provider as an adult?
Oh, so would that mean then you'd have to say that you have not had, for instance, the shingles vaccine or a tetanus booster or even a flu shot?
Yeah, or even medicine as an adult. And that's a pretty high bar. And I'm guessing that only someone who's a Christian Scientist or who holds similar beliefs about medicine would qualify under those two questions. Now, there are additional questions that the state suggests that employers ask. But interestingly, the organizers of this event felt that people should not answer them because they claim that religion is like a black box. Employers can't look in. You don't have to prove your strongly held religious belief. You just have to have it. So we'll see if that's true.
So, Deb, from what you observed at the church on Bainbridge, did it seem like this was just meant for people trying to find a way out of getting the vaccine?
Well, it seemed to me, and I was not given the opportunity to interview these organizers, so I'm not entirely sure, but it seemed to me like this is a very committed group of Christians, but also folks who are clearly not fans of the governor or of the governor's emergency powers or of what the government is mandating them to do. So for them, it is a political as well as a religious issue. But at the same time, they said they wanted to make very, very clear that this is an effort that's not meant to, as they call, punk the system. It's meant to help people who are sincere in their religious beliefs.
KUOW's Deborah Wong on what some are doing to apply for a religious exemption for the COVID-19 vaccines. Deb, thanks for this.
Thanks.
As COVID continues to spread in the U.S., President Biden is putting in place new requirements for millions of American workers. Most federal employees and contractors who do business with the federal government must get vaccinated. And sometime soon, if it all goes according to his plans, workers at companies with at least 100 employees will have to get vaccinated too or undergo weekly testing. NPR's Andrea Hsu is here to talk about that with us. Hi, good morning.
Good morning, Lulu.
I think the reaction to this vaccine mandate for private sector workers has been pretty strident.
Yeah, well, as you'd expect, there's been some pushback. Republicans like Governor Kristi Noem of South Dakota have threatened to take Biden to court over this. And all over social media, there are people who are calling it authoritarian and tyrannical. But Lulu, a lot of companies have welcomed this move. They want to get their workers vaccinated, but they were reluctant to impose their own mandates. There's a frozen foods company that I've been checking in with throughout the pandemic. It's called Belicio Foods. They have a manufacturing plant in Ohio. And Margot McManus, their chief people officer, told me, philosophically, this is a good thing, but she is worried about how they're going to execute it. And she thinks this vaccine requirement could make it even harder for them to find workers.
There's an incredible labor shortage, and people are trying to make sure that you're an employer of choice so people want to stay with you. And now we add on a whole nother layer of complexity.
She told me right now the company's overall vaccination rate is about 50%. But among union workers, the ones who are on the production floor, it's just 30%. And that's after the company has gone to great lengths to convince people, even bringing the vaccines on site.
That's fascinating. Now, as we've said at the start, there is a testing option for employees at private companies who won't get vaccinated. What's that going to look like?
Well, very few details. Biden said private sector workers must get vaccinated or be tested at least once a week. But it's not clear who's supposed to pay for that. Margot McManus at Belicio assumes it's going to fall to the companies. And just imagine the cost of testing 500 people weekly, not to mention running that operation, tracking everything. And there's also a lot of doubt over how effective testing is in keeping workplaces safe. You know, yesterday, as you said, Biden told federal workers and healthcare workers, you don't have that option, testing instead of vaccinations. Washington State did the same thing for its state workers. Here's Governor Jay Inslee last month.
We are past the point
of thinking we can test our way to safety here. Tests are helpful, but what we have learned in the state of Washington is that they don't solve the problem.
And he went on to mention that two corrections workers who were undergoing weekly testing died in the span of just 1 month.
I mean, many workers in the United States are represented by unions. How have they responded to this?
They've been strongly encouraging their members to get vaccinated. But even just a few weeks ago, many said they were against vaccine mandates. But now the tide seems to be turning. The United Food and Commercial Workers Union struck a deal with the meat and chicken producer Tyson Foods over its vaccine mandate. And that resulted in some new paid sick leave for frontline workers. Their stance now is we'll work with the administration to ensure that essential workers have a voice in shaping the final rules. And one last thing, Lulu, the mandate at Tyson Foods seems to be working. They report that since it was announced in early August, about half of the workers who were unvaccinated then have gotten it done.
That's NPR's Andrea Hsu. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Oh, yeah? Well, you can't fire us because we quit.
What are you talking about?
That's right. We're moving to Mississippi, and you know how that's spelled. M-I, crooked letter, I. Crooked letter, I. Hook back, I.
Black farmworkers paid less than white foreign laborers at Mississippi Farm, suit says. Six black farmworkers in Mississippi say their former employer, Pitts Farms Partnership, recruited white workers from South Africa to do the same jobs they were doing for higher pay, according to a lawsuit. The suit, filed on Wednesday in U.S. District Court in Greenville, Mississippi, states that the farm applied to the government to bring white workers from South Africa to the U.S. under a foreign agricultural worker H-2A visa program, claiming it could not find qualified workers locally. The lawsuit also alleges that the farm violated the terms of that visa program by paying those workers up to $4.50 more per hour than the black ones, as the program requires foreign workers and domestic workers to be paid equally. The six farm workers are represented by lawyers from the Mississippi Center for Justice and Southern Migrant Legal Services. Pitts Farms Partnership farms several thousand acres in near Sunflower County in the Mississippi Delta, a county that's predominantly black, the lawsuit said. The farm has historically had a majority black workforce, but that population began to dwindle in 2014 when the farm began applying for and hiring white workers from South Africa, the suit says. Pitts Farms Partnership did not immediately respond to a request for comment. The lawsuit added that South Africa is a predominantly black country and that less than 8% of South Africans are white, but none of the workers hired by the farm were black South Africans. Four of the plaintiffs, Wesley Reed, Gregory Strong, Richard Strong and Andrew Johnson, were hired to do seasonal agricultural work on the farm from February to November and were paid $7.25 per hour during the week and $8.25 per hour on weekends. Reed and Johnson both worked for the farm for 19 years, and Richard Strong and Gregory Strong both worked there for 24 years. The other two plaintiffs, Stacy Griffin and James Simpson, drove trucks for the farm and were paid $9 per hour, the lawsuit said. Griffin and Simpson both worked there for about 7 years. In comparison, white workers from South Africa were paid $9.87 per hour in 2014. That rate increased yearly, going up to $11.83 per hour by 2020, the lawsuit states. The H-2A program allows American farmers to supplement labor shortages by hiring foreign labor when no U.S. workers are available, one of the plaintiff's attorneys, Amal Bu Habib of Southern Migrant Legal Services, said in a news release. It does not allow farmers to pay their American workforce less than the foreign workers, or to replace willing and able U.S. workers. Although the six farm workers were retained by the farm after the white H-2A workers were hired, they were asked to train the new workers despite continuing to make less money than them, the lawsuit said. The farm also hired a supervisor who had the authority to hire or fire workers and to assign job duties. This supervisor was always white, the lawsuit said. Occasionally, the supervisor used racial slurs, including the N-word. Pitts Farms was informed about the supervisor's use of racial slurs and did nothing. The lawsuit alleges that the farm violated the Federal Migrant and Seasonal Agricultural Worker Protection Act by paying foreign workers more than domestic workers and making greater efforts to recruit foreign workers than it did to hire domestic ones. The lawsuit also alleges that the farm violated the Civil Rights Act of 1866 by seeking out white workers over black ones and by not paying black and white workers equally. Ty Pinkins of the Mississippi Center for Justice said in the news release that with the unemployment rate in the Delta hovering at around 10%, it is unacceptable and unlawful that local farmers are looking to hire foreign labor before people in their own communities. The case also reflects our nation's deep, ugly history of exploiting black labor, Pinkins said. For too long, powerful businesses have abused black Americans for profit. This story was originally published September 10, 2021, 7:42 p.m.
Context of white supremacy. Gus T. Renegade in for another broadcast, hopefully to share constructive information on the system of white supremacy. Today's date, Friday, September 17, 2021, so I have been told. Say the supervisor is always white. I almost feel like I've heard that one before. Say the supervisor is always white. Might be from South Africa. I thought we were going to get another one of Mr. Fuller's African-American. Get someone from South Africa, bring them over here. African-American. Affirmative action. Yes, right here. This is our weekly broadcast, Neutralizing Workplace Racism. Feel free to dial in if you have thoughts, observations to share. The number to dial, 720-716-7300. The code, 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Number again, 720-716-7300, the code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Again, email untiljustice@gmail.com. Feel free, you can write in if you have concerns about being identified or are not able to dial in, but you still want to participate, either have suggestions or commentary to offer. Email again is untiljustice@gmail.com. Include our emails as we go. Give out my general reminder. This is not a broadcast for spectating. Counter-racism in general is not a spectator activity. This broadcast especially is not designed for folks to listen in. There's been so much upheaval and disruption in the workplace over the last 2 years. This is absolutely a pivotal time to share constructive observations, suggestions. Even if you experience problems in the workplace, figuring out the best way to try to address those problems might even be that some of the same things or similar things are happening in different work environments. So definitely share. I think that helps us get a better observation of what is happening. And that is certainly needed in this time of mass confusion, chaos, mandates. Let's see, a few things that we heard, the audio segments before we get started. Just before we went live, I was including a little bit of the talk in New York City, specifically New York Public Radio, where they were talking about workers being asked to come back to the workplace. You heard Mayor Bill de Blasio, cowbell, saying that, hey, for some sectors, maybe working at home is working or hybrid work environment. But for us, it's not working. People need to be there so they can see one another, coordinate, all the rest. I've heard that from some industries where people have said that Zoom is just not able to replicate the constructive dynamics of whatever they think they need for the office. Also, they use the word fair in saying that certain folks haven't had the opportunity to work from home. You know, if you are a physician or if you drive delivery, that sort of thing, lots of industries with lots of non-white people have not had that opportunity to just prop their feet up and chill for the last 18 months, ordering from Amazon and all the rest of it. Next, within our sequence, when they got to where I am, Gus T., Washington State, so they said Bainbridge Island. I've been out there. And they said they went out there and they met with a group of folks. They've been doing these seminars about religious exemptions. Now, they've had, this has been like front page pretty much every day this week in Washington, where they said thousands. I think I posted the exact article because every time that they want to talk about black people and the unvaccinated and all that, it was thousands of state employees applying for religious exemptions and whatever else, you know. I don't have to do the Rona. Washington state doesn't have that many black people, so this has got to be lots and lots of white workers saying, "Nah, religious exemption." And you heard Bainbridge Island is not, that's not near the color district out here, Central District. Nowhere close. Bainbridge Island is just like super, super white population. They said it went viral going around and doing all these workshops and what questions that I see there. That sounds like neutralizing workplace racism. Getting out, what things to say, what things not to. Did you hear how specific they were being about words? Hey, don't go in there talking about you don't want to do it because they have tested this on babies and all the rest of it. Like, might change. That might be something that's not even true in the future. Want to have something that you can use over a long period of time. That really is about effective codification. You don't want something that you just do this for the week, and then next week you got to change things around, or you can do this for a month, and then next month you got to change it around. You'd much rather have something, this is going to work. You still make observations, you make improvements, you make adjustments, but I mean, you want something, hey, following this logic is going to work consistently. What else did they talk? Policy. What did I say? Sounded like neutralizing workplace racism. Check policy and procedure. How is this going to be implemented? Ask questions. That's some of the same things that I said. In fact, I said check your policy and procedure because a lot of environments, they've had updates on a regular basis. Mask, no mask, vaccine, tested, vaccine mandates all over the place. I mean, check it. And what I said, double check it, read it twice. You should have a question, not a gripe, not a complaint. I just want to make sure that I'm accurately understanding what has been presented to me as updated policy and procedure. That's all. Clarity. So they go through all that and the questions, I guess, that can be asked or should be asked. And they said, you know, you shouldn't ask any of the or answer. You shouldn't answer any of these questions. And then they had the audacity. I just told you the central district, the colored district, that is not some place where gentrification has been fought off. That has long been the land of white people. Bainbridge Island, where they held this meeting at. I think you have to take the ferry to get out to Bainbridge Island. They said they started it invoking the name of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. This is a civil rights issue, they say. I reckon. Vax that thing up. Vax that thing up. Yes, civil rights issue. And then they said, this is the black box religion, right? They said when they were saying, you know, don't even answer those questions, and they come at you about, you know, have you as an adult, you've never taken any medicine, that's how strong your conviction is. Like, shh, get out of here. Don't even ask me those questions. Black box, man. Black box. They always got that for the felons, used to be for criminal evildoers. That's how we get rid of the rapist niggers. This is supposed to be the black box. You're not going to try to get rid of me just because I don't want to take your old no-count vaccine. Let's see. Then the previous segment, they were talking about vaccines in some places. It's mandated. Some places it's not. They talked about one of the specific colleges in Ohio, Redden, Ohio. They were talking about their not requiring the vaccine unless you live on campus. If you don't live on campus, then it's optional, and just trying to do the gentle encouragement. And they mentioned the exemptions there, too, and saying, hey, a lot of these institutions that do have vaccine mandates, they have so many loopholes and exemptions that, hey, you can just, you know, go to the seminar in Bainbridge and then figure out how to opt out of it. We'd much rather, you know, I guess, go about the courteous way and try and encourage folks to do it for the greater good of everyone on campus and the city at large. We'll see how all that goes. We'll see if there's a shutdown or if this, depending on how things go in the fall, if folks change their mind again as we move forward with all of this. Lots to pay attention to. Also, they had some fascinating metaphors within the segments. This is not the compensatory call-in. That's tomorrow. Only once a week we do the no metaphors. But they said that some of the workers in the factory were working cheek to jowl. I said, now, wow, that's one I haven't heard too frequently. Cheek to jowl. And then they came back and said, in terms of us, the folks that don't want to do the anti-vaxxers in Bainbridge Island here, they said that we're not trying to punk the system. Like, what does that even mean? what is that, Ebonics? What is that? They got newfangled Ebonics in Bainbridge Island? We're not trying to punk the system. Did someone accuse you of that? Like in Bainbridge Island, they're punking the system? Amazing times. It would be even more amazing if you all knew, like, where Bainbridge Island is and what population of white people. That, like I said, I think you got to take the ferry to get out to Bainbridge Island. Like, this is, like, I'd say white suburbs, but it's basically a part of, you know, Seattle. But I think you do have to take the ferry to get out there. So it's kind of exclusive white people, Bainbridge Island. Anti-vaxxers. Amazing times. Let's see. We'll get to some of the emails and then nab our folks who dialed in live. Email again, untiljustice@gmail.com. First email, one of our attempted black parents. Bravo, hard work. Vegan RD, she writes, I was listening to last week's Workplace Racism. I learned that vaccinated people have reduced transmission time. It was my first time hearing this. I plan to continue studying this. It also seems like suspected racists like to use confusing language around mandating vaccination when it directly affects white people. Absolutely. Reduced transmission time, I think, meaning that you can still transmit the virus if you are vaccinated, but it's supposed to be a smaller amount of time that you are contagious or would be transmitting the virus. I'm not a medical professional. I could be in error. Continuing. Workplace racism. I hate to admit this, but I noticed that the person I'm having the most conflict with is a non-white person. Very typical. However, I know the people most to blame are white. A plus. The victim is a person who has mental illness and specializes in working with our client as a peer. Here's the situation. I had already mentioned being an attempted mom. Look at that, right on time. I pump at work during my lunch break, and I used to pump in the morning. I stopped pumping in the morning at work and started pumping at home because of this victim. That is an abomination. Like, oh my God. Let's hear what happened. She would knock on my office door. By the way, I put up a do not disturb sign on the office door while I'm pumping almost every morning. This week, I was pumping during my lunch break and she disturbed me again. I was so upset I did not leave my office until I felt calmer. I did the task asked of me to fill out a form for a patient to get blood work at a lab. I asked why she did not ask the white female nurse practitioner, and white female nurse practitioner said angrily that it's not my job. That's spade work. See, nigger task. You don't come over here and mess up my time with that. You go bother her. I felt heated, but I decided that fighting her about that would go nowhere. She is correct that she does not have to cover for me. She mentioned that the nurse, non-white female, is supposed to cover for me when I am on lunch. This is true. However, the nurse took lunch the same time I did and left the clinic. This happened because she changes her break time due to the weekly clinic meeting starts during her regular break time. Then, I went back to my office to finish pumping. I was interrupted again by a doctor, white male, who changed his mind and wanted me to draw the patient's blood. I ignored it and continued to pump. Finished my lunch break and then helped the patient. Later that day, the peer, non-white female, apologized about the interruption. I decided that the best course of action is to take a break when this victim does. I will see if that will reduce conflict. Moreover, my work-from-home privilege was discontinued after Labor Day. It's only offered to doctors and social workers at the clinic. It really sucks, and how. However, I took some time off because of school starting for my older daughter. This has helped me to make the transition easier. I think we had one of our other investors, non-Clemson grad, said the same thing. He had been given the option to work from home, even though he would just go in because nobody was there. And so now it was a full office. And he said, oof, let me take a day or two to get my mind together so I can adjust to all of the chaos returning to the workplace. Smart move. Now, continue. She says, I continue to have to meet with the clinic director, white female, every 2 weeks. I continue to bring up my problems and report on resolved problems. Prior to meeting with her, I write up this report and come in ready. I also come with questions about how to solve these various issues. It's been a helpful tool. It prevents our discussions verifying off focus to how this white female feels about me. Love it. You do not, in a workplace setting, really with white people, period, but especially in a work environment, want to get caught talking about what white people feel about things or even your feelings. Solving problems. That is money all day long. Solving problems. I'm in need of a raise. Can we solve that problem for today? Not feelings. Problem solving. Love it. This was the first session where she took notes. Wonderful. We can all take notes, have an accurate record of what was said. However, the nurse, non-white female, told me she had conflict with the clinic director, white female. The non-white female felt that she was not valued. Imagine that. The nurse complained that she fixed the whole nursing station and she has not been acknowledged for it. I told this nurse, non-white female, that she's not going to get this recognition from the clinic director, white female, and advised her to bring her problem to her. Make supervision a way to solve problems. This prevents the clinical director, white female, from filling the time with her complaints and criticisms of her work. She implemented it, and it's helped. Awesome. Thank you for reading on the program, for sure. That is spectacular. I think I've said long time, folks know, hey, that's when you have to kind of make a decision yourself in terms of in the workplace. What sort of help are you going to offer to victims of racism? How helpful are you going to be? Always something to be mindful that same thing, same rule still applies. Like, hey, whatever you say, everyone in the company may hear this. You have to be comfortable with that. Think about what type of rapport you have with this person. But again, I always think that's black self-respect. We have so many listeners over the years who, you know, have tried to do their best to help out other victims in the workplace and just offer constructive suggestions. Again, trying to solve problems. Same thing. So bravo for sharing. And that is a excellent way of using time. If we're going to be here and talking, let's not talk about our feelings and what are you doing for the weekend and all this nonsense. Like, hey, we have got serious problems and you are a white woman. You can help solve some of these problems right now. Stroke of a pen type thing. Or saying a few words type thing. Calling Fred down the hall. We can get some of these things checked off the list. Let's see. Very sad to hear about losing the hybrid work situation. Glad you had it at least for a short period of time. Race soldiers, they just said Bill de Blasio making folks get back in the workplace. Chop, chop, trying to get this thing moving. Folks aren't just going to allow everybody to sit at home and prop their feet up forever, especially non-white people. But even more sad to hear about all these disruptions with pumping. Like, man, they have so many different reports on the terrorism that moms experience in the workplace, particularly when they are new moms or have just had, you know, a child, whether it's their first or they have a number of children, and they're trying to breastfeed. Optimal health for that child and all the disruptions. We had Red in Ohio. She talked about white people being on the job and being all nosy, like, oh, that's the GS19 2018 model. Interest, like they have got all this information and watch, know exactly you average 7.5 minutes of pump time per day and all the rest of it. We had other people. I remember we had a mom, she dialed in and she said that they had a lactation room on her job this wasn't a place that was overrun with pregnant female employees. So it wasn't like it was a line for the lactation room. She said, but hey, they came in and told her like, hey, we allowed you to use the lactation room for 18 months. That's all that is specified by FMLA, and no more lactation room for you. Go out into the barn or in your car. Go behind the recycling shed if you need to do some lactating, and change the code to the lactation room. Now, again, this wasn't a company that just hired pregnant females. So it wasn't like, you know, you got a line of 15 people waiting to get toilet paper outside the lactation room. Not at all. She said it might have been one, two other pregnant employees. Might have just been one. And we are not here. Black Lives Matter. No, Black Lives Matter. Pregnant lives. No. We will assume that the victim wasn't doing this deliberately, but just meant, maybe that's even one if you have rapport with this person, just to say, you know, hey, I do use my lunch break to breastfeed, especially if she came up to apologize later, like she realized like, oh man, my bad. I didn't mean to, you know, you're doing something important, to just let them know, or maybe even let everybody know. If they have a staff meeting, we could just, hey, FYI, I do have a new little one and I try to use my lunch break to lactate. If folks could just be mindful of that when I'm on my lunch break, if I have my sign up, even if I don't have my sign up, just be mindful and try not to disrupt me during that time period. Very important. We're all medical professionals and supporting health of a newborn. Yes. Awesome. That might be one just to make sure that people can be respectful of that time. I know lots of folks deal with that. Lots of mothers deal with that problem, specifically Black moms. Let's see. Minimizing, I guess if folks have any other tips on minimizing conflict with non-white people in the workplace, that is always helpful. I know many, many victims, that is something that they unfortunately deal with all the time. Yes, the white people are most to blame, and yes, white people practice racism in a variety of ways, but we have lots of victims who unfortunately, this is the daily struggle. Other victims on the job, name-calling and doing non-constructive things, and that will end up taking up a lot of time and energy just figuring out how to minimize those problems, especially doing so if you can not have to involve white people to solve those problems. Can be tricky, can be frustrating. Much obliged, Vegan RD, for writing in. We'll nab some of the folks who called in and then get back to folks who wrote in as well. Number again is 720-716-7300. The code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Let's see. First, Bay Area Mom. If you have commentary, share with us. You should be with us. I'll nab other folks' hands as I see them. Are you there, Bay Area Mom? Maybe she's just listening, getting her thoughts together, muted. Not hearing you. Not sure. Not hearing you. Bay Area Mom will check back. She might have been muted. Oh.
Can you hear me now? I'm sorry.
Yes, ma'am. We can hear you now.
Oh. Yay,
Charter!
Greetings to you and everyone on the line. Workplace racism. So I went to work today. I wanted to call in, but I went in. It was okay. This is the day that I don't get a break, a real break. I just go from one to the next. Okay, two things. Let me go back to that mandate. So there's like this sort of vaccination mandate that they're trying to put into effect. The words they use are more like just trying to comply with the CDC and all this stuff. And we need to be it's strongly suggested that we're vaccinated by, everything needs to be completed by, because I guess there's one or two doses, everything needs to be completed by, I think the first week, looks like the first week of November. And then they have like a setup of how the dates go to where, I guess, because of the way they do the injections, maybe they space it out some weeks and then you do the next one. So they give you to November to have everything. And then the Johnson & Johnson one is just a one hit or quitter. Or maybe I might be allowed to test every, however they're going to do the people that are interested. I still might not be able to go into schools. And if I don't do any of this, I'll be suspended and I could be separated, so the company could divorce me. Yeah, so that's a thing. Hilarious. And it's not just my company, I'm sure. And as we go back to workplace racism, so my supervisor, the Spanish-speaking one, she sent a message while I was in my first session stating that she would be coming in via TV, the tablet, to my session for 1 hour and 15 minutes. So I accepted it and pulled her up around the time that I got to the guy's house. Oh, he was all over the place. Oh, my God. Of course, he's all over the place during supervised sessions. And it's hard to do a session on the tablet. I wish she would take time and come, because she lives in the same city as the child. She could come. But she said she's coming on Monday, because I've done all this complaining about her. I complain. And I was told this week that I should see some kind of change in her because of the way everything has went. Sure enough, as we're on the phone, she's typing in new things. Now, mind you, I already have my sheet up. So then I look, are you adding stuff? Yeah, I just added that one. Okay. And she's adding all this stuff now because her supervisor is coming to overlap to see what's going on. So now she's got to fix everything, remove everything, and add this and do this, because she doesn't want her supervisor to see that mess that she calls instructions and goals. So I'm asking her about the same thing, because on Friday it's different from Monday through Thursday. So for at least a month, I've been asking her, can you please put in what I have? I don't have any of this stuff that you're asking me to do with him. I don't have it. Can you put in what I do have? Oh, sure, I'll do it right now. Right now never happened. Right now never happened to where she just removed it. And that's today, allegedly. We'll see, because I didn't run it. So now all of a sudden she wants to listen to what I've been asking her. So she's removing a lot of that stuff. Everything, actually, even the PEX board. She's removing everything except for two different goals with these cards, these site cards. And we're going to work more on Ecolix, which she should have already done this. I've been there a year, one freaking year, and she's just now all of a sudden starting to do some stuff because her supervisor is coming in, because my supervisor keeps complaining to their supervisor, because I'm complaining, and I'm not the only one complaining, but I'm the one complaining every Friday. So I didn't do any of that because on Friday it's different than Monday through Thursday. So all the stuff that she had, I didn't do. I just did what the norm is for Fridays with him. And I had to create a system just to get that done. And, of course, he's watching what is it, Madagascar, maybe the meltdown. So he's watching Madagascar, the meltdown twice, or maybe the next one. So then when it went off, he was upstairs when I got there, but when I got there, he ran downstairs, grabbed my hand, put me in the room so we could sit down and reenact Madagascar. Now, Madagascar is very violent. And so he's doing all his moves very violent. I don't think he should be watching it because it gets him juiced and out, but hey, who am I? So he's watching it, and I'm like, man, what a day. Not today. So I'm still trying to run these goals while he's watching, and I got it done. But I had to pause the movie a couple of times. But I had to let her see what I'm going through because I'm not touching nothing. But that was her suggestion. So I was like, oh, okay, good. Now you're thinking, okay, because we're just going to have a circus. And so she's like, okay, just pause the movie. I was like, I try not to touch people's TV. Because now, mind you, all the adults are sitting where the TV is doing work from home. And then the auntie just sitting there doing whatever. But no one is thinking that during session, maybe the TV shouldn't be off because he's over extra animated and nothing will get done. Nobody's thinking that. Right, right. Because we don't want his feelings hurt or we don't want him sad. So I got everything that I was going to do done. And it was hard, but it got done. And I am looking forward to Monday now so I can not do all this crazy stuff and just work on his vocabulary. Just my goodness. So that was great for me. And then she asked me, so do you think it's been any better? Because from the last two sessions that I've seen you with, it's been a big improvement. Because I have a supervisor that I have to talk to in order to figure out a system to work with him. And I have to use my own brain. Of course it's been an improvement. Of course I think I have improved working with him. Yes, I do. Well, thank you. And thanks for looking. Thanks. Yeah, so I'll be there Monday, and I'm going to bring this and this. I'm going to bring a magnet board. If not, I can just pick up one so you don't have to do it, because I have to stick Velcro to paper cards and stick them on things so he can take it off and on to give it to me to run these goals that don't pertain to him. So that's my ramble. And thank you for taking my call. I'll mute my line.
Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter. Much obliged, Bay Area mom. So I guess before you mute or depart, with the pressuring that's happening in California and beyond, because here in Seattle's big news today, King County, named after Dr. Martin Luther King, King County, new mandate, all customers, not employees, customers at gyms, restaurants, bars, required proof of vaccination or a test within the last 72 hours. Now, they did point out, like, employees at these establishments are not required to be vaccinated, but patrons are. That was pointed out within all this. But either way, that's supposed to kick in next month. So if they require you, as you said, to get vaccinated or divorced, are you going to switch up your stance? Are you going to reconsider the vaccination, or are you not changing it, not getting vaccinated, and that's that?
I'm going to identify as a vaccinated person. That's what I'm going to do. Because the way they're setting it up, I have to have some kind of documentation to show something, because I seems like I have a cousin that went to a restaurant. In order for her to get in there, she had to show proof of something. So I'm just going to have to identify as one until they come up with something else, and then I'll just come up with something else. But for the meanwhile, I'll identify as a vaccinated person. I'll even pick one, and then that'll be that. And then that's that. So that's how I'm doing it. I'm not going to National Guards would have to come in order for me to allow them to inject me. But I know how to get around it, so I'll just do that for the moment. And that's that, period. And say what you want. Not you, just people in general. So that's my response.
Right on, right on. Standing on her square, as she says. Not doing it, bring on the National Guard, and that is that. Context of white supremacy, as I said, crazy times, so much to have to process and consider, and then if you have offspring and all the rest of it, like crazy, crazy times. Let me see if I can nab another email. We'll get some of the other folks who dialed in. UntilJustice@gmail.com. UntilJustice@gmail.com. Let's see. All right. Investor writes in, my workplace racism for the month and how being mindful of the power of black self-respect helped me out of problems without creating more problems. Oh, that is the gold standard, solve problems without creating new problems. I operate small commercial drones for a solar company and perform inspections on homes. Bravo. I was flying my drone over a house using a standard operating procedure. A crew of concrete workers was building a new driveway for the next door neighbor. The foreman, white man, says, censoring. Whatever race soldiers say, that's what they say. I've concluded that's a big part of the problem. We sanitize the language. So if you have sensitive ears or anything like that, young children, you don't want to hear them to hear any potty mouth language, go ahead and cover your ears. Or maybe you shouldn't. You should just let them. This is race, so this is what they do. So the foreman says, that fucking drone is getting on my nerves and I'm going to start throwing rocks at it. Mind you, I'm flying the drone next door, and not to mention the fact that my particular commercial drone costs around $2,000. I said to him, I would appreciate it if you would not throw anything at my drone. This is work. He then begins to get belligerent and starts cursing at me. Filth, flaring filth. He has a young white boy no older than 13, two other young white men in their 20s, and a older so-called Latino male, possibly in his 50s, on his crew, and seemed to be making this a teachable moment in how to deal with mouthy niggers. He's making his way towards me saying, oh, you over there talking shit? Oh, yeah? I'm feeling a bit nervous, me too. I was definitely outnumbered should I have gotten jumped and just don't know if this guy is carrying a firearm. I've said that all year long. More so, I'm attempting to concentrate on operating my drone. I have a controller in my hand and flying my drone less than 10 feet over roofs and avoiding obstacles at the same time. Power lines, sounds like it could be a dangerous thing. I only said, I would appreciate it if you not throw anything at my drone. This is work. That was it. So after he sees that I'm ignoring him, he finally says, don't make me come over there and whoop your ass. I replied, okay. In that way, people let other people know that they mean business. The only other thing I said to him, I'm a vet with PTSD and a truck full of tools, and I was triggered with that threat. I'm glad for both our sakes he decided to get back to his concrete work and allowed me to get back to my work. His crew, from the kid up to the elder, were unfazed by their foreman's behavior, which affirmed to me that this is the race soldier's M.O. Standard operating procedure, as was already said. This is probably how he behaves every day. I left the job site thinking about something you repeat on your program about if you're not prepared to use counter violence or kill when you leave the house. That's a serious statement, and 9 times out of 10, those situations happen in the moment, like in the heat of the moment. Absolutely. When I say it every time, I've been saying it at the conclusion of programs for about 15 months or so now. I mean it, like, lethally serious every time, because it could end up being a fatal decision. Now, am I ready to kill all these white people right now? Am I even prepared to do that? Do I know if they have a firearm and all the rest of it? If that's not the case, like, oof. Evacuate. What did he say last week? Evacuate. Let me get out of here. Whew. Might need to phone enforcement officials. He continues. Let's drop my phone. On another job site, I'm at an older white couple's home to perform an inspection. The white wife comes out to the front yard while I'm performing a part of the ground inspection, and fire trucks or an ambulance were sounding their sirens a few blocks away. She says to me, what did you do? The police are coming to get you. I replied, those sound like emergency vehicles. Seeing that I didn't take the bait, she says, well, since those new apartments got built down the street, all I hear are sirens through my neighborhood. The apartments she was referring to were mostly occupied by lower income, non-white tenants, whom are the result of the gentrification happening in my city. I replied, a lot of people over there must need help. She walked away and left me alone for the rest of the inspection. Now, see there? Nothing constructive to say at all. I'm going to go over, you robbed someone. We've heard that one before. We've heard that. Matter of fact, that's cliche. We had the black police officer. He came on earlier this year, LAPD. He said they would go in the morning and they would have reports about burglaries and rapes, robberies the night before. And the suspect would be a black male, and they would look over at him, say, hey, you were busy last night, weren't you? Wowee. Stop burglarizing all those people. And crack up laugh all the time. Some sort of joke where you, the black person, are a criminal, a rapist, a burglar of some sort. And then, oh, okay, it's not you. Okay. But you know, those niggers over there in those apartments, oh my God, they are raping and burning and looting and shooting and drugging and best comeback ever. Like, wow, it sounds like those people need help. This nigga, I'm going back in the house. I don't want to help anybody. I don't want to help you. We're in the middle of a health pandemic. It's not, oh my gosh, isn't it crazy? Are you vaccinated? Like, wait a minute before I come out here and get too close. Are you vaccinated? No. The police are coming to lock you up. You and all your cousins over there. Niggers living around me. Like, what? I thought we were all in this together. Black Lives Matter? Black Lives? Continues. Lastly, I'm in the drone operation part of my inspection at another house standing close to the curb, but in the street on a low traffic residential block. A white man with a young white male passenger stopped the car behind me. I'm facing the house I'm inspecting. The white driver yells, hey, what are you doing? I replied, I'm working, sir. Who do you work for? What's the name of your company? Do you know who lives here? I'm in a work uniform with a yellow reflective vest on and have a fluorescent orange drone launch and landing pad surrounded by safety cones. I repeated my first and only response. I'm working, sir. The white man asked or repeated another question, and I walked into the backyard of the house I was inspecting as a part of standard operating procedure. When I came back around the front of the house, he was gone, and I felt relieved. One thing I felt I could have done better in that situation was not to turn my back on them as I walked away. Race soldiers and their firearms, absolutely. The other thing I thought of afterwards was that I should have flown my drone up another 30 or 40 feet and started video recording. Love that as well. Walking away as a response was the best option at the moment, but I put that experience in my brain computer for future reference. That is the best way to improve codification. White people really know how to suck the enjoyment out of anything, everything, black brothers and sisters, everything, especially and in particular at work. If it weren't for neutralizing workplace racism, I'm absolutely sure those last three incidents in the last month, I didn't know these were all in the last month. Let me pause right there. I've said consistently, this lasts since like March. Whenever, I'm just going by U.S. I'm sure for other people in the world, timetable might be a little bit longer or whatever, but basically since March, when things hit for the folks in the U.S., it has been a totally different world. Like the stress, the anxiety. Racism, white supremacy is violence anytime, but I don't remember them having regular gun battles and fisticuffs over toilet paper, corn dogs, gas. I don't remember these things happening. Brawls on planes and what. I don't remember all of that being a daily regular occurrence all throughout the land. That's basically what it's been the last 18 months, extraordinarily dangerous. And even these type of incidents specifically, it's been so many. I said consistently, you have all these brand new gun owners. That's what they bragged about, right? Got to get my gun. We got Rona craziness. They're protesting over George Floyd, and we got these mandates, and people are losing their mind, and gas shortages and all the rest of it. Okay, got your gun. Now I want to go out and brandish like the couple in St. Louis, especially if it's a black person. I got to flex. I got to go out here and show them. Talk about punking the system. I'm going to go out and punk this nigger. Show them I'm a white man. Show them I'm a white man. And it's interesting because a number of the examples that this person who wrote in, a number that they cited, it's a white person with younger white people present. They get to model what does it mean to be white. He said one of them is even a teenager, he thought. They get to model, and specifically modeling in a workplace context. This is how you treat niggers in a job setting. Job setting for us, job setting for them, whatever it is. But all of this, to have all of this happen in the span of a month, where you have at least in my opinion, two different incidents where, man, am I going to get shot? Am I going to get jumped? Am I going to have to physically defend myself? Even just, even if we, subtract all of that, you're out doing your job and someone is out cursing at you and say, I'm going to throw rocks at your $2,000 piece of equipment. That is stressful. When we talk about, burnout and all the rest of it, that is trauma. To experience that, he said, I'm already a victim of white supremacy. I already got PTSD. This is a triggering, terrorizing event. Racism, white supremacy is terrorism. Forget 9/11. This is the daily terrorism of white supremacy, racism. I got a reflector vest on. Where your papers at, nigger? What are you doing here? And I said, it's been tons of that. We've had tons of those on neutralizing workplace racism where people, Amazon delivery workers, where I'm in an Amazon truck. I got an Amazon uniform with Amazon printed in big bold letters on my Amazon t-shirt. What do you think I'm doing with an Amazon box in my hand? You're a mouthy nigger? am I going to have to punk me a mouthy nigger? Like, it's been tons of, they had the white woman, not that it's just men, the white woman race soldier in Florida. She had her big Florida Gator t-shirt, sweatshirt on, probably Tim Tebow underneath it tattooed, came out, same thing. Nigger, what are you doing here? Where are your papers at? Who do you work for? Do you know who lives here? Let me see your authorization. Going to get her firearm, presumably. One thing we say on neutralizing workplace racism, I'd say a person who wrote in, A plus here, keeping your composure. In any of these incidents, it would have been astronomically worse. This white guy comes up cursing at you. Who are you talking to? Who do you think you are? You don't talk to me like that. Could have been way worse. The guy comes up for the last one. What are you doing? Do you know who lives here? I'm going to get an attitude. You don't talk to me that way. What is it your business? You don't question me. Way worse. As he said, hey, any of these folks could have had a gun. All of them could have had a gun. Even if they don't have a gun and this ends up being a brawl type situation, or you're cursing them out back and forth, that type of situation. None of that is going to help you get a promotion, raise, nothing. Like, your composure when these type of incidents, and safety, he said for the last one, like, let me vacate the area. And then once I get some time to process this event of trauma, next time I'm going to raise that drone and begin recording. Excellent. Next time I'm not going to turn my back so I can keep them in my field of vision as I exit the area where you're creating space. And then you can have your cell phone at the ready if you need to call 911 or whatever else. But I mean, yeah, and I said, because we've had other folks who do carpenter work or whatever they are, a license where they might have to go to someone's residence for work. You have to have a special code. I would say especially now. You have to have a special code if you're going to be on a white person's property, in their house, in their neighborhood, because these sort of incidents are so, he said he had 3 in a month. These sort of incidents are so prevalent. You have to have a code, and maybe even talk with your employer in advance. If you encounter some sort of hostile situation, someone is being violent and aggressive about your presence in the neighborhood, that sort of thing, what do they recommend you do? And then you sit down and process. Now, what do I think is the best way to handle this situation? If there's a conflict, you take your situation. But as it's been so many of these, the YouTube videos are littered with these type of incidents. And I totally think it's just white people being racist. I want to go out and flex. I've been stuck in the house. I'm angry. I'm stressed. This is how I really, this is like their racist Joe. I'm going to go out and mess with this nigger. Get my firearm. Hope he gets mouthy. Find some ways to detoxify from all of this, because this is hypertension and all the rest of, like, I cannot imagine, like, sleeping well, going home after that happens. Even the little mouthy racist white woman to come out and, oh, they come to get you, didn't you? You've been raping this evening, haven't you? Even that one, I mean, that's the mildest of the three, I would think. Even that one, have to go home with, yes, I'm going to come out here working to help get this installed, and that's all you can do is come out here. Oh, yes, you old criminal nigger, aren't you? And then the rest of it, like, my God, am I going to have to come out here and fight? Is he going to try and destroy my $2,000 drone? Detoxify, find ways of dealing with all that, because we end up storing all of that trauma, and it can totally kill you. And or that's how we end up overeating and alcohol and all the other really destructive things. Whites have a lot of ways of killing us. I didn't read all of it. I got stymied. I was stunned. He said all this happened in the last month. Like, Jesus Christ. This has been the worst summer ever. Like, wow. So all this happened in the last month would have gone really bad for me. I want to say I definitely appreciate the program and consider it essential in my mental health and wellness process. Yes, right on. Hope the Proud Cows has been worthy of your time and energy. Composure, I cannot say enough about composure. Like, man, any of these incidents, composure for health and well-being, composure just in your workplace situation, period. Even previous person who wrote in was with a non-white person. She could have got really upset because, man, I'm not a female, but I know that's really important trying to breastfeed your child. Someone is coming in and interrupting that. Ooh, That's another one. Phil Florin, and what are you doing in here and all that? I'm on my lunch break. Keeping your composure. That's one of the best things. And even now, because I know for a lot of us, Gus T included, we might not have the same patience because it's been so much stress and so much upheaval. Just not as patient as we normally would be. It's especially important right now. Keep your composure. If you feel upset, anxious, don't say anything. You can always take a moment. If you need to go to the bathroom or go outside, go to your car and just sit. You can yell for a moment. Take some deep breaths. Drink some. I'm always a big fan of drinking water. Drinking water immediately lowers your heart rate. And drink water, you're going to have to go to the bathroom, which is always lovely because that means you get more time to yourself. You can get some breaths in. Do some just recite to yourself. I know some people, they're into chanting and just have a mantra that they say to themselves, or just will think of Dr. Francis Cress Welsing, someone who exerts a calming influence in their life over their thought process. But composure, like, man, that is so, if nothing else, Gus might be talking crazy about a whole lot of things. That is one where he is not. Composure is critical, especially for workplace counter-racism. Number again, 720-716-7300, the code 564-943-pound. Press star 61 if you would like to participate. The email again is untiljustice@gmail.com. Much obliged for writing in, sir. Wowie, that is, man. Dangerous workplace. but I mean, having to be in those white neighborhoods is dangerous. Like, man, let's see. Other folks, star 61, do you have comments, observations on how you are adjusting to the Rona situation in the workplace? If you have thoughts on what's been shared on the program or other components of white supremacy, racism that you are dealing with on the job, star 61. Let's see. Folks are spectating a little bit again. No spectating under these circumstances, especially with so much they have vaccine mandates now in places. I don't know if that's shifted some people or forced them to shift their policy behavior about the vaccines in the workplace and all that. But there is way too much activity for there to be a whole lot of spectating. I'll take 1 second. Just in my state alone, like, Jesus, every day is... What's in the workplace? What's happening now? What are they doing here? I said the Seattle Times. Now, this was, I think, Wednesday, either Tuesday or Wednesday, they reported this. I said today it was front page, King County beginning in October. Patrons to go, you know, to the gym, go to the bar, go to the restaurant, got to have proof of vaccination or I think it's in the last 72 hours, negative Rona test. 3 days ago, they said thousands of Washington state workers seek exemptions from COVID-19 vaccine mandate. At least 8% of Washington state government workers subject to Governor Jay Inslee's COVID-19 vaccine mandate have so far requested medical or religious exemptions, highlighting the breadth of resistance to the order. As of Tuesday afternoon, at least 4,799 exemptions have been filed by workers at 24 state agencies in the governor's executive cabinet, according to spokespeople. The cabinet includes most of the large agencies under Inslee's purview, but doesn't include smaller state agencies also subject to the mandate. That amounts to roughly 8% of the approximately 60,000 state government employees who must be fully vaccinated by October 18 or lose their jobs. It goes on to there, talks to some of these folks. They've had white people in mass numbers, like thousands, out protesting and griping. In fact, I forgot they had white people had been breaching the governor's mansion. They had pictures of this where they had to go and get extra security and all the rest of it. They were hopping the mansion. They were so upset. I got to go tell him a thing or two about these vaccine mandates and all the rest of it. Like, it has been amazing. Crazy, violent, and that, again, white people have been so violent in the midst of all of this. Like, if they're doing that to the governor, they threaten to kidnap the governor in Gretchen Whitmore. Like, if that's the way they're behaving in relation to other white people, they got their January 6th march tomorrow in Washington, D.C. Man, I don't give 2 cents about some nigger with a drone or any other nigger coming around here trying to tell me anything. That's in Washington State, where they say the progressive white people live. That's what they said about Bainbridge Island. They said these are normally liberal, progressive white people. Yes, whatever that means. Let's see. Folks who dialed in, caller 4797 should be with us as well.
May I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Good evening to Gus, the host, and the callers and listeners of the program. I just wanted to share a couple of incidents of workplace racism or incidents that have occurred in the on my employment. One incident is that I've established a new contract with a company that I thought would bring me higher income. And I didn't know exactly what it entailed because it's a new company. And one of the first jobs that I had was delivering these boxes to, they have a contract with the Transit Authority in New York City. And when I deliver these boxes, they are COVID test drop boxes, which are taken to the different hubs of the Transit Authority where the employees are stationed, buses, the train stations, and so forth. And apparently they do COVID testing on site. And I'm delivering these empty boxes so that they can put the test kits in. Once they have been placed in that COVID drop box, then they would be taken to another area where they would be tested and further investigated. It was fine during the time when I was delivering the empty boxes only. I found it pretty interesting. But then at some point, I was asked to make the delivery of the pickups, taking the presumably tested completed COVID tests, which were inside some type of sealed envelope, and take them to this testing center. I've decided that is no longer something that I'm willing to do because I'm not absolutely positive of the security of those items. If they're not empty boxes, I don't believe that I will continue to do that. But I just thought that it was very interesting. I feel quite safe because these boxes were in the open, so other employees were around these boxes without feeling alarmed. So I don't think that they were tampered with in any way or allowed to have the seals or some such broken where there could be some accidental exposure to someone who was COVID positive. But I still no longer feel completely comfortable with doing that job. And so I've decided to no longer pursue that, even though it was somewhat lucrative. It's just not lucrative enough for me. The other thing that I wanted to discuss was the benefit of this show and how it's assisted me to have a code where I am able to exist and not have to feel nervous. Normally, I may feel at times nervous when I'm around a person who has very high authority or who I perceive may have higher authority than I do. And as a result of my having a code, that has been mostly alleviated because I actually had a person who was of higher authority that I was asked to perform a ride for and or drive them from a train station to their place of employment. And we actually had a very constructive conversation. I had a constructive conversation with this non-white female. She was a non-white black female. We had a very constructive conversation. I was using my codification to keep myself from making errors during this trip, and I felt I felt pretty good knowing that this company trusted me with a very important person to them. And I felt like I was able to use my codification to keep myself very relaxed and very calm and keep myself from making any errors and making a very positive impact on this person during their drive. They gave me very good compliments, and I just took it as that. I just wanted to say again, thank you to Gus, the host, for this this invaluable program, and thank you to the callers and listeners who offered their input on situations that have helped me to understand how to keep myself in the most positive way while I'm at my employment. Thank you all for listening. Have a great night.
Much obliged for sharing, sir. Hopefully, decals worthy of your time and energy. Composure. Now, he said staying calm. That's the same thing. Different C word, but that's the same thing. Staying calm. Keeping your composure. I think that's in... let me see if I can find it. That might be in the counter-racism commercial. Let me see. If I can find it in less than 60 seconds, I'll play it. But I think they say that exactly. Like, that's the whole point of trying to get a better understanding of what racism is, how it works, and developing some sort of counter-racist code so that we don't have to be nervous and uptight and all the rest of it. We can relax and even just accepting, like, yep, I am a slave on the plantation. So pretty much the white child is in a position of greater authority than me, greater power than I. So, yeah, once I kind of accept that that is true, then I can start to figure out, hey, now how am I going to function in this environment to the best of my ability? Let's start figuring that out. We can use logic to do that. Not a big deal. So that we can relax a little. Like, yes, this white 6-year-old can have me fired in the next 30 seconds. Like, oof, better keep that in mind. Could have me killed in the next 30 seconds. Let's see if I can find the counter-racism commercial that says the exact same thing. Let's see. Up. Less than 60 seconds, I said, so this can't take all day because we have other folks who dialed in and all the rest.
Is racism hurting you? On issues of race, are you unable to speak, think, and act with clarity and confidence? Are you tired of laughing when nothing is funny, smiling when you are not happy, agreeing when you really disagree? Counterracism.com, you can learn specific strategies and techniques to counter the behaviors of the people who practice racism in all areas of activity. Using words correctly, following counter-racist logic, even counter-racist science projects designed to reveal what racism is, how it works, and how to counter it. The open source code writing format allows you to pick and choose from a variety of counter-racist suggestions so you can produce the code that works for you. Stop by counterracism.com today and help replace racism with justice.
That's counter-racism.com.
Indeed. Laughing when nothing is funny. Been there myself many times. Having a code that can be part of the code. No chuckling. And being known for being serious. All of that, in my view, falls under staying calm, composure. Even he said he's going out to drive with this non-white person. Now, same thing I said before, like, hey, everything that I say, I'm going to assume this car could be bugged. She's going to repeat it. So not going to be my time for my rowdy Malcolm X speeches and Kamal Kamban and all the rest of it. Like, nope. Might even see if you can learn some things about the company. If this person has more authority, like, hey, they might have some information, be helpful for my job, help me get a promotion or some things, or at least talk about something constructive. Like, while we're doing the drive here, like, hey, have fun. See if I can learn a few things. Maybe she can help me get a promotion, solving problems, like all kinds of wonderful things. But yeah, that's fantastic. She can put in a word for me down the road, like, oh yeah, we had that great drive and all that. He'd be great. Add him to the team. It'll be great. Well, get him that promotion. That'll be great. Make sure he gets the big office. Love it. Love it. Love it. And the black self-respect. Like, we've had quite a bit of that today too. Just being mindful of what's happening on your job. He said, now, hey, we're supposed to be doing these COVID tests. They go out, I guess, to these transit areas, probably spaces where it's non-white people, and do these tests and what have you. When it was the empty boxes, fine, no problem, let's do it. Once it switches, and I'm not sure about whether or not this is secure, no thanks, I'm not going to participate. And some things are worth more than nickels. That is for sure. Counter racist logic, because white people do not approve of that at all. Like, hey, I'm going to give you, you know, a shiny quarter to go out here and mistreat your brothers and sisters and cousins, maybe even your mother. And you mean you're not going to take it? What? Give you a few Tubmans. Come on, what do you mean? Dr. Welsing used to talk about that all the time. Like, hey, we should get to that point, black self-respect, that no, I'm not just going to go out here and do anything to get a nickel from you. Like, no. I'm going to have some black self-respect about my conduct on this planet, trying to be universal man, universal woman. Love it. Black self-respect. Need more of that. And then, even thinking now, all this, we got to go get mandates and all this, and is the testing secure? They come out blaming black people for the Rona, and you unvaccinated Negro Bay Area mom, folks like you all have got California in a tizzy. That's what they say. Come on. Much obliged, sir. Let's see. Try and see. Maybe I'll power through all of our emails here. Untiljustice@gmail.com. Different investor writes in. It's been an interesting couple of weeks, buddy. You can say that 50 million times. Number one, we are in the middle of a COVID surge in the hospital. Ooh, now, if this person works in a hospital, that should be highlighted. I know we've had some cows listeners, and that's been a mega trend in terms of folks saying that this is a lie. White people are lying. The press is lying. The hospitals are not overflowing, and they're just doing that to create fear so they can push their vaccine and other agendas. I'm not a medical professional. I don't work at the hospital, and I've not been to the hospital, so I can't speak directly. But if this person works at a hospital facility, like, Four separate floors of COVID-19 patients. Two of the units filled with COVID-19 patients on ventilators. The infectious disease expert for the facility says we should peak in about 2 weeks, and then he expects a decline. He said he expects 2 to 3 more surges over the next 12 to 18 months. In spite of this, many employees and clients don't wear masks properly, even though it is mandated. Frightening proposition. Not that I'm surprised. I can believe that totally. All of it. The surges, not wearing masks correctly or at all. No surprise in any of that. But I could see a shutdown again, maybe, depending on how that goes. Have to see. Number two, an announcement regarding mandatory vaccination for employees is expected next week. The booster jab, whether to get it will be mandatory, will be another issue for me since I already took the first vaccine. I took the flu vax recently, which is mandated by my employer. Lots of folks have had that too, where they're mandated to get the flu shot and, you know, whatever else. I think they had news on the booster shot today. I think they did announce the Food and Drug Administration that the booster shot was only going to be recommended for the elderly and people who have some sort of compromised immune system. I think they said for the general population, a booster shot is not needed. I know that had been contentious for a lot of reasons. Even some people saying that that was another illustration of white supremacy racism. The fact that most of the non-white people in the world and in the U.S. specifically have not been vaccinated, while many, many, many white people already have been vaccinated and are now talking about getting a booster shot as well. So lots of folks were speaking out against this and saying there shouldn't be any booster shots at all until many more non-white people have been vaccinated. They don't say non-white people, but that's what they mean. Let's see. Number three. Two minor verbal incidents at work. One with a so-called Asian male and one with a female suspected racist because I don't shake hands, fist bump, or elbow bump. I thought they said all that stuff should be avoided. That's what I, unless I'm misinformed, I thought they said, yeah, that all that's too close to, you know, touching and everything, like distance, no need for all that unnecessary. They had, I just read them, they had articles that said, is this the end of the handshake? Come on now. And I don't fist bump in the work environment. I mean, come on. Come on. You can leave that. The Sunday football is coming up. You all can do all that then. I don't fist bump in the work environment. And that would be another one. That's right up there with when they come in with all of the Ebonics and such in the workplace. Like everybody, morning, Miss Johnson. Morning, Mr. Reynolds. Hey, Tim. Good to see you. And then they get to the black. What it is, shouty? What it do? Like, that's right up there. The fist bump is with all of that. I don't fist bump at work. And now I don't shake hands either. No hugs, no handshakes, nada. Morning, it'll all be verbal. We can be courteous as we need, but I mean, come on. So they're mad. He doesn't shake hands, fist bump, elbow bump. No touching unless it is a part of doing my job, and that is with gloves on. What do you say? Are we not in the middle of a pandemic? Put a question on it. Like, come on. If you all are anywhere close to the medical field, like, come on. No unnecessary touching, like, let's limit transmission. I every time I fist bump, I got to go wash my hands. How many times am I going to wash my hands? Winter is coming up. Have chafed hands. Come on. Same thing I said with the elbow bump. They said early on, medical professionals, if you are close enough to rub elbows, you are close enough to transmit. That's the same thing as a handshake and all the rest of it. Like, cut all that out. Wait 18 months or so, and then we can get back to all that, especially with strangers. I mean, it's different if you're talking a child or whatever else. But, I mean, just strangers and such in the work environment, like, come on. Number four, one incident with a female suspected racist who wanted me to take some goofy unofficial picture with a new employee, male suspected racist. I said, I'll think about it in order to deflect, and she retorted, jokingly, you've got 5 minutes to think about it. I, of course, refused definitively then. Bravo. Like, let me think about it, and then see, it's always got to be that jab, that racist jab. Like when the white woman came out, he's working on the property and she comes out. Oh, I hear the sirens. You raped someone, didn't you? It's always got to be a jab. It can't just be, let me think about it. You got 5 minutes, Zegro. Like, dang, what is this? Like, come on. And just be, okay, we'll come back. Come on, I think you should do it. It'll be great. I don't know what all this is for, but I'm suspicious of all of that in the workplace. Like we call her in Florida. They come, man, let's come get you for the newsletter. It's great. We want to show off the Negroes who work down here in the segregated area. Let's just get a good picture for the newsletter. Oh, we got Negro children. Let's get them in the newsletter. Like, come on. I did not come for a photo shoot. We're not doing calendars. This is not Sports Illustrated. Let's just get back to work. Number five. For a few years now, a week does not go by without a particular female suspected racist coworker mentioning that I do not eat any of their carry-in food. They had a potluck in the work area today. Are you flipping serious? Are we not in the middle of a pandemic? Not in the designated lunchroom. Nachos, chips, salsa, big pot of something which smelled funny. I suspect it is a policy violation. How can it not be? That's like finger food, too. Like, are you flipping serious? Like, even if we're talking salsa and nachos, like, oh my God, like, are you telling me everybody is going to come up and they're going to get, like, I don't know, like tongs with gloves on to get their portion of nachos? And then everybody is going to go get like a disposable spoon or whatever with gloves, and then like with a spoon dollop out whatever salsa they're going to use, and then we're going to go all eat whatever. Are you flipping serious? I'm good on everything. In fact, they would have known that for, well, I can't say forever because I didn't have that as a workplace code forever, but I mean, that's been solidified for a minute. Like, oh yeah, the Gus, he's not gonna do it. Water, nothing. Peanut M&Ms, nothing. We've tried, and yeah. And or if they do it, because sometimes they force it on you, right? Call Ed Ford. He said they had the black worker there who wouldn't take any of their food, and we're gonna change the rules. What is it? Guantanamo. They want to talk about 9/11. Let's talk about it all. Guantanamo. We get to force feed now because of 9/11. We got memories. We got a vengeance, right? They were going to force feed my man at the courthouse. So what do you mean you don't want our potato salad? We're going to make a rule. You got to eat everything. We bring food in here. You're going to eat it. Mm-hmm. That's what it would be, too. That's about all it would be, unless you're going to handcuff me to the bench and stuff a tube up my nose. Nah, I'm not eating nothing. My favorite, if they find out something that I love, oh, we made vegan velvet cake and red velvet cake and all that. Yeah, I'm good. And or we said they come and force it on you, right to the trash can. Come on. And even if it was great, are we not in the middle of a pandemic? Like, come on. I'm not even if you work with all non-white, regardless of all of this, even if you work with all non-white people, it would be the exact same thing. These are not my homies. These are not my friends. You have not seen their kitchen. Like, again, if you have a job, presumably you can afford to stock your refrigerator. You should not be dependent on anyone at your job bringing you a piece of corn, kale, spinach, nothing. Water, I'm good. We brought our own food, right? We're good. If they really, really, really want to look out for you food-wise, gift card. Very simple. Let them know this is where I like to shop. Sprouts, Berkeley Bowl, whatever it is, get you a gift card. If you have a spot that you know, they make healthy treats that you can, whatever, bam, gift card. There you go. And that would be better for everybody, right? They can get it on their own accord. If they want to get something on the weekend where they don't have to eat at their desk or in their car or whatever the case, let's do that. In fact, you can even suggest that as an improvement for folks who have to deal with this sort of nonsense. And then they try and pressure you to contribute to the potluck. Like, come on, why don't you make some beef stew and all, cornbread? Don't you love fried chicken and all the rest of it? Like, nah, gift card. We should just do gift cards. Anyway, I'm sure they'll include that's. Oh, this is camaraderie. We miss this. This is a part of us being a family at work. We do the pilot. This is a part of us being a vector at work. Are we not in a pandemic? The number again, 720-716-7300. The code 564-943-pound. Press *61. If you would like to participate, email untiljustice@gmail.com, untiljustice@gmail.com. Let's see. No spectating. Other folks who are with us. Lawn should be open again. No spectating, I'm sure, if you are in your work environment, even if you are not being mistreated, which I hope you are not. Man, there should be all kinds of updates and policy and procedure changes, and they are twisting my arm to get this vaccine, like all kinds of things happening in the workplace. Always good to learn. Other folks, commentary to share? Folks getting their thoughts together. We'll give them a moment to check in again. UntilJustice@gmail.com, the email address. The folks in Mississippi, I think several folks had shared that report with me. We opened with it at the beginning, where they were going to South Africa to get exclusively white workers to come down to Mississippi to work. And then the white supervisors were getting the white workers, that a country where 80% of the population is black at least, and they get all the white workers. Like, that is, if anything, that is another fantastic illustration. Voltron effect. And how this is a global system, because there are lots of examples where they will go, and if they need white people, or they need workers, or need people, period, they will go and make it very easy for white people to migrate from wherever, Canada, Germany, even Nazis at the time, World War II, go nab some white people from South Africa, whatever. Need some white people, tons of white people, you're always welcome, the door is open and the light is on. Negros. It could be black people that live right here, right in Mississippi. Nah, we're done with the coons. We've had our feel of these Negro workers. It's time, especially if we're trying to get a supervisor position filled. Oh, no. Got to go all the way to South Africa. That's what we'll do. Dedication. Let's see. Check my email as well, just to make sure I didn't miss any. If you have written in, I try to be very diligent with my email, untiljustice@gmail.com. But I have sometimes I'll miss, especially if folks kind of catch me, if they write on Friday or close to when we broadcast on Fridays. But I try and make up and at least read it the next week. But if I've missed, my apologies, untiljustice@gmail.com. Always appreciate the folks who share via email for the broadcast. I guess I should include, incidentally, I did write on social media. I was asking folks if, you know, all of this is, or how all of this has impacted their work environment in terms of the vaccine mandates and, you know, all of the rest of it. Folks did respond there. I guess I'll share some of their input there. One of the folks wrote in, they said in New York City that they're getting daily pressure through calls, texts, emails, message boards, jab or submit to weekly saliva test. That's in New York City. Different person in Florida says Governor DeSantis is against the mandate and is threatening to fine cities that enforce the mandate. My job has not enforced it. It has been a whole different world in Florida. Like, can you now, just that alone, for people that are listening internationally, Florida is about 3,000 miles from where I am in Washington State. So in Washington State, mandatory, even for patrons, or for patrons, you'll have to have proof of vaccination to enter bars, restaurants, gyms as of October. Many state employees already mandated to get the vaccine that goes into effect next month. Florida, Governor DeSantis already said no vaccine mandate and taking salaries from educators who try to enforce masks in schools. Bonkers. And then you got a little bit of everything in between in those 3,000 miles from Florida to Washington State. Bonkers. Let's see. Other folks wrote in. There's murmurs of weekly testing leading up to the vaccine mandate. A different person wrote in. I'm not sure what part of the world they're at. Let's see if I missed any other folks. Oh, I'm in D.C. It's not looking good for me. Most of the office is vaccinated, sickly, and still getting COVID. Yikes. I got COVID early 2020. I still mask and social distance since I had it. D.C. is at will, and I'm looking to join a church or become ordained to claim religious exemption. Man, maybe they got one of those focus groups like they got here at Bainbridge Island to, you know, show you how to do the paperwork or to tell you, you know, this is what to say, this is what not to say in order to get the best chance of getting your case approved. I have to look for the even that is so specific to region in terms of, you know, what the rules and policy and procedure is going to be and then what to say, what not to say, if it's going to be enforced. Like, oof, talk about a headache. Like, So that's, you can follow online, feel free, Facebook, Twitter, all the other places to write in, try and be mindful of folks writing in there as well. Other folks who dialed in, *61, commentary to share.
Be heard.
Caller in Florida. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, sir. Greetings to just the host, the listeners and callers. I have some updates I'd like to share with everyone. The first, speaking of the governor, I'm glad that you mentioned that, Gus, because he came to Newberry, right? Newberry, Florida, not too far from where I'm at. And the reason I wanted to start out with this one is that the connection to the job is where he was mentioning the fines were to be put forth, I guess, any kind of, I guess government agency or whatnot, who are going to enforce vaccine mandates. And I noticed when the camera panned across the crowd of predominantly white people, of course, I see the warden's daughter, right, that from 9 or 10 years ago, white power, of course, she was one of the co-workers downstairs a while back. So she was in the crowd, you know, clapping in support of the governor. So the reason I'm saying this is I suspect that there's tremendous great influence on the daughter from her mother. Okay? And this person, this white woman, is in a high position in the office, and it goes to show that she has a nonchalant approach to not only being consistent in how serious the COVID-19 situation is, but also like reprimanding and punishing the office clique that is spread throughout the office, the white women clique, when they come in with the illness, they don't seem to get punished. So there's been an issue with that. But so far this week, I haven't noticed anyone having to go into quarantine. So hopefully it can stay that way. My next one is, let's see, the white woman that is going to be leaving in a few weeks, she shared something with me that a clique member on the other side, the white side, that works in the lab, she said a comment to her. And with white pathology, they like to try to say that this is just a comment to show that we're going to miss her and we value her or whatever. So she said, this person said, I'm going to chain you to a chair so that you don't leave. And I can't really remember what she said. Her response was something about, well, I'm going to take you with me or something. That's not going to keep me here or something. Tacky. So I did the cliche, like, are you serious? And she said, yeah, she said that. So I wanted to share that because I said I wanted to note that. My next one is, I was for the elevator. And, you know, of course, I work in the courthouse. So I've seen minors come to a court hearing. Usually it's on Wednesdays for juvenile court, CJ cases. So it was a black male, older black male, and I was moving past him getting off the elevator, and then there was a younger black male, maybe like 13, 14, was shackled. You know, I saw the chains on his ankles. So, you know, seeing that visual, I was like, wow, usually I don't see that in the main lobby. They usually have it to where they bring in those minors in the back area. So I wanted to, you know, point out that was something I seen, you know, unfortunate victim, racist black male. My next one is, you know what? I want to share this one because the criminalizing aspect of it, like what you mentioned before, I had one of those encounters where it was a white man. Now, I wasn't even saying anything, but when you get to the point of where you can predict you're going to be targeted with the white supremacist hostility that they like to phrase it as joking. So it was me, two white women. I call this one person white. I treat her like she's white. So she was directing him on how he could make copies of something. So he said, oh, you know, you have to watch me because I don't know how to use things. You know, I might end up breaking something, right? So he makes the copy, comes back out, and says, well, I don't know, you might have to check on it. Well, she says first, well, did you get everything done? He says, yeah, you might have to check on it, though. It still might not be working because I'm not really that good with things or something like that. I can break things at times. And then so she asked him, well, who are we going to blame? And I said, watch it be me. So he looks at my direction. Oh, well, it's blank. He said my name. So I didn't even give a reply. It was like he wasn't even in the room to use light. He wasn't there. So I was just looking at the monitor, but I heard what he said. And she got, you know, to where she started sounding nervous. So, oh, you know, he wouldn't do that. He wouldn't do such a thing. And he says, well, he just happened to be in my view. He just happened to be who I was looking at. So he laughs, and they didn't laugh with him. So he walks out of the room, and the other white woman says, you know what? His face turns red easily. And she says, yeah, that's because he's up to no good. So, you know, whatever that's supposed to mean. I think that was an act of white supremacy, basically exemplifying that the black person is the one who has broken something or has been some kind of a thief, destructive, violent, you know, a thug or whatnot. My next one was I got a, well, there was two customers that came in, I think it was a cowbell because it was a black male, white woman, and she was coming to get a copy of a dissolution of marriage final judgment to get her name changed back to what it was before. So I was trying to ask, like, what was the husband's name on the dissolution? So she replied, like, oh, well, you know, he's not my husband. That's what I'm here to try to get now. So I was like, what? So I guess that's implying that, you know, she's going to get married to the black guy. So I just said, no, like, what was the party who you was just married to? So she gave me the person's name or whatever. So I'm bringing this up to also say the black guy, he was saying that, man, you know, they was forcing us to put on these masks. You know, they was about to really attack me or something. And said, you know, you got to watch it these days. So they had on these masks that the security supplied to them. And he asked me, he said, man, you know, what's going to happen if I walk out of there or if I walk back into the lobby out there with no mask. And then I didn't reply just yet. And then he kind of answered the question. He said, I bet you they'll ban me. They'll ban me, you know, because that means down here, that means like a body slam. You know, you get picked up and slammed on the ground, some form of act of brutal violence from law enforcement. I think that was like resonating with me as a black male. Like, I would automatically know that, even though I'm sitting at this desk, you know, I'm still seen as a thug or something like that. I said, hey, you just got to keep your mask on, man. You know, don't bring any attention to yourself, trying to be constructive. So they ended up leaving or whatever. I wanted to share that. I have two more. There was something that happened today that it was sexual in nature. It was two black people, right? So this bailiff, this officer that works for the sheriff department, a part of the security, he was in the break room with a black female, right? So this person has a child or a baby with a white woman, right? So he's walking alongside with a black female. And so I walk into the door, and he has his hand in between her buttocks, right? So I'm walking behind them so they can't see me. And I see where his hand is going. So I had to pivot my body to, because that was my natural reaction, you know. But I could tell he was starting to turn around and notice that it was somebody else in the room because they were in there alone. So I turned and pivoted my body to go to the vending machine. So I'm not sure if they seen that was me. But I noticed that he was doing that, you know. And I was thinking, man, like, that is super inappropriate. You know, that should not have been happening, because I know the warden or any white person that would have came in there, you know, it would have ended badly for the both of them. They probably would have ended up fired, or they would have been fired. And one last thing I wanted to share is the warden, she came in and asked me if I knew where to put a stack of mail bins. But what's interesting is that she sees a giant stack of mail bins that's stacked across from where I'm seated. So I just said, well, I have a stack right over here that you can come put them at. So I'm thinking that since I've emailed the white person that has power over her, I'm guessing she's starting to want to try to act like she can treat me correctly or whatever. And if I could add one more, the black male that had walked in that same area, a white woman and a black female victim, they was talking about, out of all things, beating their children, you know, I guess what they call so-called discipline. So the black male walks by the white woman as she's giving her example of her beating her children, which is another cowbell. She has children from a black person, and she's talking about how she's beating her or whatever. And he doesn't say nothing to her, but then the black female details and gives her account of whipping the children she has. He walks by and looks at her, shakes his head, and he says, hey, you better be careful, because you're going to be on the other side of the courthouse going to dependency court. But he didn't reply that way to the white person, even though it's violent either way, but just the anti-blackness that was practiced in that aspect. And that's all I have to share. Thanks for allowing me to speak.
always a week of wackiness down in Ron DeSantis land, 2024. I'm not saying he's going to win, but ooh-wee, Ron DeSantis, 2024. Context of white supremacy. Wow. That's where he started at, Ron DeSantis. He was prepping for 2024. His supporters are right there. The click, they got him. Anybody, boy, they could be so all these vaccine mandates and such. Like, woo, the justice for January 6th tomorrow. Like, woo, his army is coalescing right now. Not saying he's going to win, but he should definitely be one of the strong contenders to 4 years and enough of Joe Biden. We shall see, but. My man had his rally. Warden's daughter is right there. DeSantis, 2024. No masks. Anti-vax. He said he's not anti-vax, Governor DeSantis, but let's see. Now, the equal protection, Mr. Fuller talks about that all the time. In terms of the workplace, that's what you want to be, because that's going to be a regular violation, system of white supremacy, lack of equal protection, equal enforcement of rules, policy and procedure, whatever the guidelines are in general. And he said that, hey, they continue. This has been a pattern now. White people are testing positive, seeming like they have the symptoms for COVID-19, and they're still coming to work. They're not quarantining. They're not, you know, letting other people know, like, whoa, this could be a jeopardy to everybody's health and safety. They got patrons coming in the courthouse and what have you. And this is being violated continually. And the same thing with the PTO. You know, if they are going to be at home, then they get to finagle it so that they still get paid. I think some of the folks were saying that was why they were coming in and not quarantining, because they didn't want to mess up their PTO and still get their hours and all the rest of it. Like, that's the sort of thing I'd be very mindful of, because I'm sure that is widespread in the workplace right now, especially in areas where they're not really taking this serious, which seems like many, many environments. Bainbridge Island. Let's see. Now, we've had whole lots of those where, as opposed to just a constructive comment being made or nothing being made, we'll take nothing anytime. No, no, no. Oh, you're leaving? It can't just be, oh, well, congratulations. It's been great working with you, and wish the best for you and your family. Not even 30 seconds. I didn't have to get no card, box of donuts, nothing. Been great working with you. Wish you the best. Travel safely. Even shorter. Nah, nah, nah. You're leaving? Oh, you can't leave. I miss you too much. We got to chain you to a chair. What? That's what I would expect the Florida cracker to say. Got to be chaining niggers. I don't say you need to say that, but I mean, what? Every time. It does not get any better than tacky and trashy. He said she added another one in there. After, we got to chain you to the chair. I'm going to take you home with me. That's kidnapping, isn't it? Thank you for working with us. It's been great having you here. I wish you the best in the future. Doesn't require a bear hug, a fist pump. Tackiness. Got to be chaining black people. Let's see. The fella, and this in the same vein, the fella comes in, nothing constructive to say. I'm going to go do the copies, come back, have a good day, be blessed, we'll talk later. No, no, no. I break things. I mess things up all the time. You got to check. Oh, so who should we blame it on? Got that colored fellow over there. Yeah, we'll blame it on him. Oh, he doesn't do that sort of thing. What are you talking about, blaming on the colored fellow? Oh, I'm just... And he cried like, what? Why is that? Now, they, if this is progressive, right, is that, man, he is just practicing racism. Nah, nah, nah. His face turns red like that because he's up to no good. Practicing racism. Practicing racism. Practicing racism. That's what it is. But that's what, and he said he expected. I feel like that, the gentleman who called in previously, who said that he can be a little bit more calm, at least my view, this might not be the case for everybody, but at least for me, when you're not like caught off guard, they say blindsided. Sandra Bullock, she gets two mentions. when you're not totally caught off guard about those sort of events. He said, I knew it. Who do we blame? We always blame the Negro. Paul Mooney, 1-800-BLAME-A-COON. That's what it is. I already understand that. I already know I'm the punchline. That's what they do. And then, yeah, wait for it. Wait for it. Who are we going to blame? Blame that colored fella. Yeah, that's what I thought. That way you're not jumping. What did you say? Blame. Just break out my pad. Write that one down. Mm-hmm. Up to no good. Mm-hmm. I'm not surprised by this. I didn't think Ted was my friend. We didn't have plans to go out for lunch, happy hour. I suspect he's a racist, and he just confirmed. All right. Write that down with the date. That's how we celebrated 9/11, being all in this together. Let's see. Now, the tragic arrangement, first time around, they come in, and the black brother, he says, man, got on me about the mask and everything. I can't believe. Now, in Ron DeSantis land, imagine that. They fussed it and put that in context. They fussed at me about not having a mask on. They got no mask mandates in Florida. He said, I'll take your paycheck, you try and tell our little Florida children to put a mask on. But the black fella goes in the courthouse with a white woman. Better put this mask on. This man fussed at me all tough and everything and made me feel all bad. Like, dang, what happened? If I take this mask off, Mr. Fuller talks about that when you can answer your own question. He said, man, I bet they'll ban me, won't they? That was one I did not need the definition for, sir. I had a pretty good idea, like particularly the anecdotes that you shared about the courthouse of, oh, yeah, they will ban you. Exactly. You don't really know what's going to happen. They will shank you and ban you and blame you for it. Say we had to protect the greater good. I thought the governor said he wasn't with all this mask mandate. Hey, hey, hey. That is the system of racism, white supremacy, and try to help be helpful. Like, just keep your mask on, man. Yes, they will bam you. They just did it to a black fella. He just came in looking at court records. So, hey, they threatened to shank me. Yes, they'll bam us all. Keep your mask on. Try to be constructive. Best you can do. Florida crackers down here. Now, they came back for the next one when it was more bamming. We're going to beat the children now. Talked about that before. No corporal punishment. That's my recommendation. So we have a white mom, cowbell situation, and then an attempted black parent, black mother. The white woman talks, oh, yeah, I beat them down. The colored children probably can't pass for a white, we'll assume. I beat them down. So the black male doesn't say anything. That is a white woman. Nothing to say. Move on to the black female attempted mother. I beat him down. That I thought so. The first response would have been appropriate there, too. They'll bam you for that. Absolutely. Like when he gave the explanation, said, yeah, he's not exactly wrong. Like, even in fact, he didn't say that to the white woman because they probably won't. White women, we've had court clips where discretion at the very courthouse. White women don't get punished at the same level of black females. White parents don't get punished at the same level of black parents. So absolutely, the black female might be the one, and I might even incur, like, that's not a subject I would discuss in the workplace. Like, we talked all the time about, you know, not talking about your personal life. I would not be talking about your child rearing practices in the workplace. I wouldn't be going over your lactation schedule, how long you intend to breastfeed, what your child's academic plan is. Do you engage in corporal punishment? None of the above. Like, woo, super mega error. That is not to your benefit. And especially if you're engaging in corporal punishment, you could be talking to the white person. You are already at the courthouse. That's an easy report that I overheard, and I don't know, it sounded, and then exactly what he said, like, they'll bam you for that. You could end up having to explain to a white person on the bench. be very alert, even though that does probably sound like some anti-blackness to say that. But I don't know. It could have been logic kicking in like, yeah, they that white woman probably can beat those non-whites, especially when they see like, oh, these aren't even white children. Like, yeah, they probably needed a good beating. These are future looters, muggers. I don't know. He might have considered himself trying to, you know, help her out in that one. But we definitely do not talk to white people the way that we talk to black people. Very, very obvious. Let's see. I came in on the line. And the embarrassing the black people not bringing them in through the back. That's standard operating procedure as well. Woody Allen talked about that yesterday, of all people. Much obliged, caller in Ron DeSantis land, Florida. Let's see. Number 720-716-7300. The code 564-943#. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Let's see. Caller, I guess you're on the vote line, maybe Skype, not sure. If you have comments here, you should be with us as well.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. Hope everyone's having the best evening they can have. Lots of interesting tips, but I guess I have a question. I'm trying to get a job. I need a job. But I want like a management job. I guess I've never formally had one, so I don't know what kind of things people say to get one, because I'm not getting one. So I don't know if anybody has any tips or things like that to help. Thank you.
Love it, being ambitious. If we have folks who have worked, I guess, supervising positions, experience in management, or doing hiring for management, you have tips on things you would include in your resume, things you would say, I would try to highlight in your work experience all of the times where you've been in leadership positions, where you've been in charge of projects. Obviously, if you've done supervision before, include that. But all of the points where you have been in charge, I would include where you've done any managing. Even if there are extracurricular, I don't know if I want to say that, if there's non-work experience as well, where you have been in charge and had to show leadership ability, I would include that also. Those would be big things that I would play up, both in your interview and on your resume, things that you would want to highlight. Any sort of training with regards to management, supervision, I would include that as well. I know we had folks who talked specifically about trying to make sure the wording that we kind of use, the jargon that we use when we write our resumes, matches, like try to make it as specific as we can for the jobs that we're looking for, so that it'll be more likely to be picked up, search engines and the like. But that is a very important question, especially, I love it, ambitious, non-white people being ambitious. If we have any folks, if you work human resources, working management yourself, specific things that you would encourage saying or things you would recommend folks say or include when they're doing their resume, filling out applications, looking for management positions. If you have any thoughts on that, feel free to share. Folks can email in as well. If you are listening to the archives and you hear this and you have some suggestions, untiljustice@gmail.com. Untiljustice@gmail.com. And if folks write in, I'll just read them on the air so that people can benefit. All of us can benefit and know some questions or tips, suggestions. If you're looking to move up the ranks and get a management position, knowing this is one also knowing in advance, like, ooh, we white people generally practice lots of racism in finding all kinds of racist reasons not to promote black people, especially not to place them in supervising management positions. So being mindful of that and still trying to do as best you can to get one that will work for you and use it to learn as much as you can. But I'll double check if folks have any suggestions, tips for aspiring managers. Let us know and or email if you have thoughts. Number again, 720-716-7300. The code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Other folks, if you have tips, suggestions for folks that have dialed in, if you have your own situations, recommendations you would like to share, *61. I'll check once or twice more last few minutes in the broadcast. Give folks one more check-in before we wrap things up. If folks are all satisfied, I guess two reminders. As I said before, we should be here on Sunday for the Global Sunday Talk on Racism. Check in with our folks who are in different parts of the globe to see how they are dealing with all of the madness of the workplace. Are they doing mandates? I'm not even sure if they. I know they have vaccine passports that are being discussed in different parts of the world. So kind of have to see if they're, you know, folks that are in England and other places, are they talking about vaccine passports or mandates and all the rest of it? I know some of our folks in different parts of the world are vaccinated. So, you know, they got all their proof, their papers, so to speak, so they go out and travel. But that'll be this Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern. 3 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Central, 12 p.m. Pacific. I think I might even have to check the UK and the U.S. don't set their clocks back at the same time. So it might not even be the same time as normal for folks in the UK. I have to check and see. It's either this week or next week. But for a brief period, it's only a 7-hour time difference between Seattle and London. And that period is about to begin over the next few days. So we'll have to see how good my memory is. Anyway, that is Sunday. I'm also eager to chat with them. They have, even though I'll bring it up tomorrow, but they're having the U.S., UK, Australia Alliance, and this is to counter the threat of China. Form like Voltron, once again, global system of white supremacy. So I'll be looking forward to chat about that as well. There was lots of commentary all over the world about this new formation, and it was stated explicitly as a counter to China, Australia, United Kingdom, United States. Global system. But that'll be Sunday. Tomorrow, our compensatory call in, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. We'll catch up on the last 7 days. Like, wow, it has been lots to report the last seven. We'll try and catch up, make sense of as much of the material as we can. Include Simone Biles. Simone Biles could have been included in workplace racism. I think a retired firefighter said, hey, if you are an Olympic athlete, Sha'Carri Richardson, that is your job. We talk about sexual harassment and workplace racism all the time. She just talked about that this week, testified before Congress. Hey, you all, the system, that's what she said, the system, the entire system enabled the abuse of Larry Nassar, white man. One of the most decorated, legendary athletes in the history of U.S. Olympics, the World Olympic Games, and molested as a child by a white doctor, no less. That's even medical apartheid. Put that in workplace racism, too. That's 2 days in a row I had to bring that up. That's with the Woody Allen saga, too. White people do not care about children. Say that all the time, but man, that's another reason. You have to talk to your children about racism, white supremacy, and the workplace, because if you don't, man, like not talking to your boys and your girls, this system produces, encourages, protects even in many instances white sexual predators, male and female. You have to be very aware of this in the workplace, school, all of that. I said before about having your children, our children, in white sporting events and all that, sports activities. And you all want to go out and do some running around, swimming, whatever it is, great. But like white competitive dominated athletics, no thanks. Lots of opportunities for that. Jerry Sandusky, Larry Nassar, at all. But that easily, maybe even should have been included. I don't know if folks thought about that or processed that as workplace racism, but it absolutely should be. That was her workplace. That is her workplace. She's still active. She was at just at the, was that Japan? Yeah. They just were at the Japan Olympics. Simone Biles. She got a bronze medal. People complained about that. Now think about that. Her having to take time from competing for her mental health after all of the workplace abuse that she experienced. I'd probably need some time to detoxify from that as well. And she still got a bronze medal. We'll chat about that tomorrow. Compensatory call-in, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Invest if you think the program is constructive. racism-notes.blogspot.com. PayPal button is in the top right corner. Cash App is linked as well. Venmo, I finally got this week. So many folks had pestered me and said, you should get Venmo as well. People use that. Venmo is linked. Cash App is linked. PayPal is linked. Much obliged for the folks who have invested, kept us broadcasting. It'll be 13 years if we make it to February. No guarantee, especially with all the zaniness of this year. But 12 plus years, hopefully we've been constructive, more not mostly over the time, and worthy of your time and energy. Let's see. All of that said, double check, make sure I didn't miss anybody. Folks that are listening in, other commentary, thoughts they wanted to make sure they get in. Let's see, retired firefighter, also in Florida. Commentary you wanted to share, sir?
Yes, I was going to make an attempt to try to give a helpful hint to the person who wants to be a manager. That was the question, right?
Yes, sir.
I'm not, you know, experienced on it, but from a logical standpoint, I would say it probably would be a good idea to have a conversation with a white person who has been in that position or is close to somebody who has been in that position, because they certainly would have some tips to give you if they are interested in doing so. And some white people are interested in helping a black person in some cases for different reasons, I put it that way. And by you going directly to that person and asking them to help you into what I may need to know in order to get in that type of position, probably would be the, you know, most logical thing that you can do in order to become a manager. I think that makes sense to do so. You know, on any job, actually, because they have, I would say they have, logically speaking, they have the most experience with that type of thing. Or you know, I mean, I put it this way, another non-white black person, you're probably competing with that person. And they're not going, they would be less interested in helping you. But I wouldn't take it off the list to ask a black person that also may have been in that position at one point in time. No, that's just my thought on it.
Much obliged, retired firefighter.
Thank you.
Right on. That finding a white person who is in that kind of position, like, I don't even online, that might even be something, especially with everything now, like that could be something where you could do a Zoom meeting, maybe, if they're willing to just chat so you can ask a few questions and get a few tips, that sort of thing. Or via email, they might do email correspondence if you can find a white person who's in that position. If they're not like in your city, or even if they're in your city with things the way they are now, it still might be Zoom. But yeah, they might be able to be willing to share some tips, look at your resume and give some tips on things that you should highlight, things that you should emphasize or add to it. Like, yeah, I think you did say not taking it off the list, requesting assistance from a black person, but they might not be as helpful. Anti-blackness is there, not excluding it totally, but just, you know, let's see. Any other thoughts, recommendations, especially that one, any ambitious victims of racism trying to get supervising positions, supervisor positions, management positions? Always great. Learn as much as you can. If anybody has any other tips with that, or any other comments, observations, suggestions in general, help with our codification understanding of counter-racism in the workplace, *61. Email is untiljustice@gmail.com. Any other thoughts folks want to make sure they get in?
Also, your library, it may be some books on the subject also.
For sure. Even YouTube, they might have some short, helpful videos in terms of specific ways of tweaking your resume if you're looking for a management position. And sometimes even like Forbes or some of those other sites, they might have some tips on just things, vernacular wording to use, that sort of thing, that might be helpful in getting your resume seen and or things that you want to bring up during the whole interview process, that sort of thing. To help you land that job. But yeah, if we have any folks, you have done some hiring in this capacity and or you have worked, held a management position, let us know. You can drop us an email, untiljustice@gmail.com. If you hear the archives or what have you, and chime in next week, bam, we'll have it. I'm sure some other folks would appreciate it, that as well. If nothing else, inspire some folks like, yeah, I am worthy of a management position. I'm going to try to get one too. Like, absolutely. Any other commentary, tips folks want to share? Soon folks might be satisfied for their Friday evening. We will be here for the compensatory call-in on Saturday. Again, I might even ask tomorrow if we have time, but woo, it was a lot of things that happened this week, like the recall election in California, and I just took the alliance to counter China, and man, it was an endless list. I'd even have to get my cheat out in front so I could see if the coronavirus. I said they now have the mandate in King County. It was quite a bit to process from what took place the last 7 days. We'll try and do our best to make sense of things, offer a few constructive suggestions, things non-white people can, should be doing to get this problem solved immediately. With that, folks are all good, or not all good, but at least satisfied for the evening.
Have you heard?
Caller in Florida? Yes, sir.
Oh, yes. Thank you very much, sir. I was thinking about a few things because I work in customer service, and my job entails like making copies and things like that. I wanted to speak on like engaging, especially with black customers, because I can tell like there's a difference with how the coworkers, like not only on the side where I work, but on the other side area, the engagement aspect, like really making the customer, you know, comfortable and be helped and acknowledged, like helping them make the coffee, showing them how the machine works, showing them how to get to that case, and then the inflections, how you talk to people, sir, ma'am, things like that. You know, I think that that really helps a lot when you're demonstrating that in front of other black people. The reason I say that is, like, I will get a transfer call from certain white coworkers, and they'll say, oh, well, I don't know this person on the line. You know, I'm about to transfer her to you right now. You know, she seems kind of rude. Or they'll say something racist also, that I can't really understand what she's saying, and this and that. And I talk to the person. I don't get that interaction. So I apply the correct type of approach and how I speak to a person. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Things like that. And I have a totally different interaction with the black person. And I just wanted to say that because that's another way racism is practiced. And I think it really helps to demonstrate just being, once again, calm and courteous, and just something really that simple. And that's all I wanted to say. Thanks for allowing me to share.
Much obliged, caller in Florida. I think that's such an important point because, I mean, he's calling Florida. He shared tons of examples. I think he had one recently where it was a black person, and they'll just, if it's a black person, that they say, oh, this person is rude or dangerous and all that, we'll just pass them off to you. Yes, you deal with them, that sort of thing. And I think frequently black people are accustomed to being treated rude. The fella said, you know, they're ready to bam me up out here, you know, over a mask or whatever. The other black guy, he comes in, I'm just trying to look records up, and they're conspiring. Plotting. He came to look up the sheriff. Let's see if we can get his prints. Let's search his searcher. Like, that's not customer service. That's not just, we're going to be courteous, professional. Not at all. Like, consistently. So, black self-respect, in my opinion. Like, black customer comes through, sir, ma'am, try to be helpful as I can. Yes, sir, they will bam you up. Please keep your mask on, sir. Like, I'm going to just try to be as helpful as I can, courteous as I can to the black customers, because I think that's so, particularly like at the courthouse. Like, I think that's the case, you know, anywhere where they just treat black people rudely and throw us out and all the rest. But I mean, like a government institution, the courthouse is not exactly like going to McDonald's, you know, or Staples or what have you. Like, they generally don't have armed guards, bailiffs, they'll call them, at McDonald's or Staples, you know, generally. The Rona has changed many things, but generally still they don't have armed guards, police and such at McDonald's. Going to the courthouse, like, whoa. It's a totally different experience going there and having white. I mean, you know, whoever was talking before about being in the presence of people who have more power, more authority than you. When you go to the courthouse, like the architecture of the courthouse is designed to make you feel small and in the presence of a greater power. Like, that's when we start talking about system and the details, how everything is designed for the same effect. White domination, even the columns, and I don't even know what your courthouse looks like, but I'm sure if I look at the architecture and you get someone to explain, that is a part of it. Courthouses generally look the same wherever you go. There's a reason for that. When you walk in, it's supposed to be an air of intimidation. This is the law. people, and they speak in Latin and all kinds of crazy language and all the rest of it, and just love to talk down to black people. Of course, generally, you don't have black people work. He said, we got the niggers in the segregated section. We don't have black people that work here. So it's like, for most of us, you're not going to see a black judge and black lawyers and all that. They had the same report that was talking about how they do not prosecute white mothers at the same level for child abuse as they do black moms. They talked about how they don't have too many black prosecuting attorneys. Not too many of them. A few here and there, but not a whole lot of them. That has an impact as well. So, yeah, just in that environment, just being courteous, professional, helpful to the black people, I think that works against racism right there. And just, man, to feel like, wow, there's at least one black guy I can go to the courthouse and he's courteous. Pleasant. I remember Dr. Cambon, he talked about going to the post office. That's another one, government job, as they say. He would talk about going to the post office, and it'd be a black guy who worked at the counter, and he said he was same thing, super courteous, super professional, super helpful every time. He said he ended up writing a letter to his supervisor just to say, wow, he gives spectacular customer service every time. And he said the black guy came and thanked him so much. He appreciated that so much. But I mean, that just that alone, I think black people get accustomed to so much abuse. And even when you're on your job, you're the person who said before, I'm out trying to help them get this installed. And you rape somebody, the sirens for you. That's our everyday experience. So, I mean, just to have someone, I mean, it's not a lottery ticket. It's not a spaceship so you can fly out of here. At least a kind, helpful word to help you get through this experience. That can be extremely helpful. It means quite a bit to folks who are just subjected to unrelenting terrorism all day long. Bravo for black self-respect. Any other comments folks need to get in before we wrap up? Grant, we will be here for the compensatory call-in Saturday evening. White people permitting Saturday. We have to say that for sure. We have the march tomorrow, and who knows what will happen. Justice for January 6th, they call it. Gotta be joking. Not really. Super serious. Deadly. Tomorrow would for sure be a day. If you're going to be out and about, if you're in the D.C. area or wherever else, like, man, I would be really alert. If it looks like somebody is being rowdy, hostile, for sure you should be thinking they might be armed. I'm going to get out of here. If I don't have a plan, a serious code, like I got up, I'm totally willing to die today. I'm willing to kill if I need to. I'm ready for that to happen right now. If that's not what you're getting up with the thought process you're going to have for your Saturday, evacuate. That's what the E stands for. I remember that one. Leave immediately. You can call if you need to report this to enforcement officials or whatever else, but I mean, exit. I wouldn't even be as concerned about staying to take pictures, because I've seen where a lot of times that can escalate things. You whip out a phone and they whip out a gun. Exit. Everything. Exit. No chances for this weekend. Could be anything. Could happen over the next 24 hours or so. We'll chat about that tomorrow. If you are going to go out and drive, you are super sober and you are buckled up. You are not on the cell phone. You need all of your attention right now. And we're trying to do the small things to minimize contact with race soldiers, badge or no. That said, Creator, we ask that you help us remain patient with other black people, victims of white supremacy. We ask that you help us remain patient with ourselves. Remind us to demonstrate the highest levels of black self-respect at all times, in all places, each and every time we are in contact with another black person. It has been time. Replace white supremacy with justice immediately. No name calling, no gossiping. Small things that can have a major impact. Replacing white supremacy with justice immediately. Cal signing out. Thanks all for tuning in. No name calling.
Nigga, you so brainwashed.
I'm a victim, your brother.
Problem. A victim.
I'm a victim of 400 years of conditioning.
Shut up.
The man has programmed my conditioning. Mm-hmm. Even my conditioning has been conditioned.